You know, it's like all these personalities.
You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Thank you so much for joining us. It is great of you to join us tonight on this August 10th on Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and sitting with me tonight is my usual cast of characters. Ladies and gentlemen, the, what do I call you guys? The unusual. Rancho Punk Rocker in the hizzle. Kanye West in the hizzle. And the Swami, Christian Guys, it's like we're on TV. I'm preparing us for when we move to StreamYard. It's like we're on TV because you guys could, you know, be waving and shit right there. Hello.
What's up, Chuck?
Hello.
What's going on?
What are you talking
about?
I was waving.
You were. There you go. Yes. Thank you, Albert. I already got the memo. Ahead of the game, my friend.
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know that during the intro to Fatal 4-Way Radio, 16 more WWE superstars were released. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. That's half a joke. That's half a joke because I called Kevin during the show last night on SmackDown. That's half joking.
Apparently, I'm getting a letter from the office right now. Apparently, every single cast member of this show has just been released too. Damn.
Oh, well, hell.
I think it's our own show.
More on that as it develops. But yes, thank you so much for joining us. It's great of you to do so. Guys, man, we had a I don't know, I tried to stay away a little bit this week from the news. I got consumed with everything last week. I mean, holy shit.
I tried
to stay away from it a little bit. Yeah, you did. You did at the wrong time, I'm afraid, my friend, at the wrong time.
Sorry.
You left a message. It's okay. I got your message. You were angry.
Christian comes through with the breaking news, dude. Like, you got the breaking news thing, the clip for him on the show. But, I mean, real talk, Christian will call you as like when some stuff goes down. And we got our own WWE news reporter, dude. I appreciate the updates.
Our own Dave Meltzer, if you will.
Yeah. Better.
Yeah, exactly. He's got the facts. He's got the facts, baby.
Dude, Christian's so right 99% more times than Dave Meltzer is.
That's the beauty of it. That's why they hate him. Look, man, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Just the thing is, I don't really know what we're going to talk about tonight because I'm like, fuck it, man. I'm not going to prepare a show. And then we don't even get to it because we get straight away and shit. So it's like, fuck it. We're going to freestyle. And that's what we're going to do. But I do have the birthday set up. Christian, do we have the happy birthday thing? Acapella?
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. We don't really give a fuck, but we have to do it anyway. Fuck you. Happy birthday. But fuck
oh my God.
From
Christian
forward.
From Happy Birthday Tonight. August 10th, we have a couple of birthdays today. Tugboat Typhoon. You guys remember that guy, Tugboat?
Yeah.
There you go, dude.
Yeah.
Big old dude. He walks around chewing.
There's some Houston backstory to Tugboat Typhoon because
is that right?
They're just real quick, like there's a wrestler from Houston, Tugboat Taylor, and like every wrestler in Houston knows who Tugboat Taylor was. They all worked with him. He had a really popular school, and and he had supposedly the original Tugboat gimmick, and then it was given to Tugboat Typhoon or whatever, and made popular on WWE TV and stuff, and so they kind of had heat, but like not really. But they told you, like, that was something you heard. It was like, he's the original Tugboat.
Yeah, because I remember Tugboat Taylor. I really do.
Taylor was a hawk, dude. He was a bad man.
What was his WCW given?
Typhoon?
It was
Tugs.
Yeah.
No, I have no idea.
I can't remember. I know the guy had, like, four different gimmicks, though.
I think he was the Shark, wasn't he?
Oh, God.
No,
that
I want to say he was. That was
Earthquake.
It
wasn't
that's
the Shockmaster, was it? Shockmaster was Tenta.
Fred Ottoman was the Shockmaster.
Yeah.
No, the Shockmaster was Fred Ottoman. So that was actually Typhoon or Tugboat. That was Tugboat, right? Oh God, I'm confused now. All these big guys in the early '90s really confused me.
They're both the same gimmick anyway. They're both the same person. They're both the same person, even though they look completely different. They're both the same gimmick.
Well, really, like, Typhoon and Taylor, Tugboat Taylor looked pretty similar. So he, like, if you look at the gimmicks, you're like, oh, they did totally steal that gimmick. But it's like a sailor gimmick, and it's Tugboat. He's a big dude named Tugboat. I mean, come on.
Didn't they turn him Jamaican once with somebody? Wasn't that like a Jamaican gimmick he tried to do with him? Or was that...
They turned him Jamaican along with Savio Vega, who has a birthday also today.
There you go.
1964. That's another bad guy right there. Not as bad as
Leo Brown,
though. It'd
be at Loco Brown, Wrestling. Loco Wrestling presents Reggie.
There you go. Yeah. He's going to be there? That's right.
Yeah. He's wrestling
at the And when is that one deal that they're going to be in Los Angeles?
So we missed it. It was this Friday, and I knew what was going on, and I was watching live updates, but I wasn't, like, at the house. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, I gotcha. So
remember Savio Vega had his own faction in WWF?
Stop it.
He did.
What were they called?
I honestly missed that guy. I didn't see any WWE TV with Savio Vega on it.
This was during the terrible faction wars between DOA and fucking Savio's group. They
man,
both
I
had
saw
a faction
it, dude, but it was trash, dude. Like, I mean, it was trash, man.
Awful.
Yeah, it was equivalent to that faction we had with Mace and T-Bar and them. That, like, I mean, it was trash, like, along those levels.
Awful.
Wade Barrett.
Wasn't S.A. Rios? In that faction as well, or am I tripping?
Yeah. No, S.A. Rios was just debuted in 1999. He was in
later
on.
Yeah, a little bit after. Yeah, I remember it was similar. It was like a Dominican-type gimmick or something.
Yeah. Both groups got
apparently
out
watching
of
wrestling
though.
While in the womb. 1999, Wade Barrett, August 10th, who's doing work on NXT now, missed the last two episodes of NXT because I had no idea that it was on the Sci-Fi channel. I put it on both times. I was like, fuck, man. Where the fuck?
I'm a freaking boss. Bash you.
It was because of the Olympics that was happening. That's why it was the Sci-Fi. Which Team USA won by one medal, so go USA. You won the Olympics.
USA.
Yeah.
I feel like it
was a setup. The whole thing was a setup.
I would not be surprised if Wade Barrett is the next one to be released. I would not be surprised.
Really?
Bad.
Yeah.
I got a little ahead of myself on the birthdays today, and I ended up Googling Wade Barrett. The first thing that comes up on him is he's an American actor who is currently signed to the NXT brand performing as Wade Barrett. Like, they have him as an actor. So I don't know what kind of money actors
Stu Bennett or something?
Yeah, yeah, Stu Bennett. So I don't know what kind of money actors make, but apparently he's an actor. And another, you know, speaking, and happy birthday to Wade Barrett, but I got to find out, who is this guy that is now the lead pitch man on SmackDown? What's his name?
Jimmy Davis?
With Michael Cole at the desk.
Jimmy Smith?
Jimmy Smith?
No, who's with Michael
Pat
Cole?
McAfee.
At the
Pat McAfee.
Yeah,
Pat McAfee.
McAfee.
Yeah, the guy who's always standing on the table.
He's a former NFL player.
Yeah, he's a former NFL, but he's like a commentator, sports commentator
former
kind
NFL
of guy.
Player?
Yeah, he used to play football in the major league.
For who? I watch football.
I don't know.
I have no idea who the fuck this guy is. Come on.
Like a kicker.
He was
a kicker that got injured or something.
Okay.
So that's why he has the kick and he has like a punt kick or something like that.
Okay.
Hey, it was
how did
football,
he get this
so.
Gig, though? How did this gig fall in his lap, dude? He's got a great fucking gig. And you know what? By the way, I think he's doing a great job at it.
Well, he's a fan. Yeah. And he had a really popular sports commentary show or whatever where he would just talk about fights and sports and WWE.
Yeah.
And then they did a cross storyline with Adam Cole where he fought Adam Cole because he was talking shit about him on his show.
Oh, hell.
He was like, it was that cool work. It was going on, but you just
I wonder how Adam Cole
we weren't
feels.
Talking about NXT as much.
I wonder how Adam Cole feels knowing that, you know, Pat McAfee made it to the main roster before he did.
Yeah, exactly.
He played for the Indianapolis Colts.
The Colts.
There you go.
Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, Christian's never been out of Philadelphia. Indianapolis, bro.
No. I can't pronounce it right. Sorry.
Nah,
I can't pronounce
cool,
it right. Sorry.
Congo Kong. The name rings a bell, but I have no idea who this guy is.
He used to be from Impact. He was very good. Even though he was overrated, he did some cruiserweight moves. But Impact didn't know what to do with him, and he failed.
Yeah.
I think his gimmick. He was like a wild man. He was like a Kamala character type, you know, or George the Animal Steel. Or, you know, he's one of those, like, coming up version of him. But he was good, man. And he did a couple of indie shows over here in San Antonio, too, about a year ago, maybe before COVID. And I didn't get to check him out, but I did see him, you know, advertised pretty big on the flyer with Congo Kong. So he was interesting guy. He's still around. You'll see him around.
It's just that Impact didn't know what to do with him. Impact had no idea what to do with him, what storyline spoke him. It failed.
They
should have put him as like Kamala, you know, like having my handler like Kim Chi. You know, and just have him go around the independent circuits and wreck people.
He did have a manager.
Was it
Skandar
Akbar?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
I preferred Skandar Akbar to Kim Chi.
Yeah. Skandar Akbar was big in Houston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was big. Yeah, he was
Skandar
big
Akbar.
In Dallas and shit, yeah.
He actually had a lot of involvement with Tugboat and Jazz. They were like in with him and they had stories with Skandar.
Man, I don't know if I should do the next one or not. I mean, should I?
Chris Benoit.
No.
It's
not that one. I am a
real American. No. What are you going to do, brother?
The guy just fucking lingers on.
Dude, look, and you've heard me. Y'all have all heard me shit on Hogan so much on the show. But I was actually watching the clip today of whenever he spray-painted the belt with NWO.
Yeah.
What a fucking badass moment. Like, how much heat? And then the way he cuts his promo, like, right after that, he spray-paints the belt, and he looks in the camera, he's like, NWO, brother. And then he does the, what are you going to do? And it, but it's like heel as fuck. Like he's like, what are you gonna do about it? It's so cool. So he did pop
out
today, actually. Happy birthday, Hogan.
I watched that live as it happened, and I was marking out, man. I was marking the fuck out. Finally, the bad guys.
What a cool moment. It was huge.
Were on the main. Finally, the bad guys were on the main fucking stage. Is what that moment seemed like, and it was a big moment. It was a very cool moment.
It's like Death of Superman big. It's like it's really big.
Christian,
yeah.
It was the whole change. And it was a little bit after, but, I mean, the 90s was like a shift in, like, pop culture at the time. You know what I mean? Like, stuff was getting a little bit more dingier, you know? And, of course, you know, like Hogan, like Vince McMahon said, you know, long gone are the days of, you know, superhero-type characters telling you to say your prayers and eat your vitamins, you know? And it was a huge shift, man. And I remember watching that live, too, when he spray-painted the belt and watching live, like, at the Bash at the Beach, you know? And, shit, man. No, surprisingly, I wasn't pissed off. I was actually like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was all for it.
And
Macho Man
can whip his ass.
Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah, it was cool for 1 to 2 years. Then it got stale.
Yeah.
Got boring.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Started bringing fucking celebrities into it, like fucking Dennis Rodman and the fucking motorcycle gang, whatever the fuck.
They beat that fucking, they beat a dead horse right there. I mean, they went all out with that dead horse. We're going to get to that match in a little bit because, you know, we've got history. And that was actually today that happened.
Yeah.
So we're going to touch on that. Let's get to these birthdays. Let's see, Terry Taylor, that's a big NXT guy right there. Or FCW guy, I think. Isn't that the guy, right?
I don't know. The Red Rooster?
Didn't he work at fucking FCW for a good while? Isn't that the guy, maybe?
Terry Taylor, man, he's got a knack for signing young, up-and-coming talent. For real, like, he was the one responsible for it. Before he was NXT, right? Of course, he had a run in the 80s and the 90s, but he was responsible for, like, a lot of the guys that were coming into TNA at the time. AJ Styles, Motor City,
really?
Jay Lethal, for these guys. Yeah, he was a talent buyer, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he's like responsible for them, you know, signing, but he was responsible for, like, you know,
presenting
a lot
them.
Of like the
right.
Yeah, presenting them and getting a lot of fresh talent in TNA that are now in WWE. So
right,
it's like a natural, you know, progression for the E to hire him to handle NXT's, you know, because he's got one of the best eyes for talent in the business, man, that Terry Taylor does.
Bob Backlund, no, wait, before Bob Backlund, August 13th, Spike Dudley, which we talked about last week. So happy birthday to him. Bob Backlund, August 14th, and I can remember Bob Backlund back in the early days. I don't remember how old I was, but I must have been in the fifth or the sixth grade, and they showed one night and one night only. It was something on, before it was USA Network, I think that channel used to carry C-SPAN or some shit, some type of shit like that. And all of a sudden, they showed a WWE program one night out of the blue, and I got to watch most of it. And it was really cool. And Bob Backlund was champion at the time. And then shortly after that, the Hulk Hogan era started. And then I think they were gearing up that setup, that TV setup and shit, because shortly after that, I think the USA Network premiered as well. And like wrestling was all over the place with WWF at the time. So I think that run that they showed was experimental or something. I don't know. But Bob Backlund at the time was champion, and he was a good champion. Like, he was wrestling all cool. The next thing you know, you see him, and he's like a total fucking idiot clown because they had Hogan
what?
In there.
Because he's boring. They made the right decision.
Well, they manufactured Hogan to counteract Ric Flair, you know, because Ric Flair was the real fucking deal. And so they had to do something because they had Bob Backlund as their champion. And they were not going to fucking put asses in seats with Bob fucking Backlund. And they came to that conclusion, and so they packaged fucking Hulk Hogan into what he became.
Which was the right thing to do. Because Bob he may be a good wrestler, but he was fucking boring. He was fucking uncharismatic. Nobody gave a fuck about him. They made the right choice.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, man.
About 35 years later, guys,
here in the fucking Houston Toyota Center, I was outside getting a fucking, replenishing my fucking drink when I seen a bunch of fucking commotion. And it's Bob Backlund fucking pinning somebody out there, something to do with Bob Backlund. in the concourse area of the Toyota Center. And that was a gimmick that he had for a good while, from what I understand, where he would be back there. He was, you know, a backstage guy with WWE, but he had something during live shows where he'd go around and pin somebody or some shit at live events. Any of you guys ever hear of that or anything?
Yeah. And I want to say, I beg to differ that Bob Backlund was a very charismatic guy. Bob Backlund, that everybody, like, know, the height of his career was pre-Hogan. And pre-Hogan was Bruno Sammartino, like, all those guys that were just, like, straight wrestling. You walk out to Madison Square Garden, you're serious as fuck, and you're going to wrestle for, like, an hour. You know what I mean? And that's the product that Bob Backlund came from. Now, Bob Backlund tried to, and he did adapt to, like, the 80s and the 90s, and even, like, well into, like, today's era, he's, like, managing fucking, what's his name, Derek Young. You know what I mean? Like, he molded himself after that. So, if anything, I mean, like, Bob Backlund deserves a little bit more credit. Yeah, he was boring back in the 1970s, but that was before, you know, it was entertainment. You know what I mean? It was a straight sport. And Bob Backlund did a pretty good job at adapting in his older years to being a more entertaining character. You know what I mean? Like, he was an idiot.
At some point, he became like a parody of what Bob Backlund was, and that's when it was, like, really good. Like, he got, like, really self-aware of, like, how he was viewed, and then he just, like, hammed it up for, like, the last years of his career. It was awesome.
Right.
In WWE, when he was feuding with Bret Hart, especially, that
apparently
was a good match.
He's doing some different things, according to Albert. He's managing Eric Young and shit. That's cool. So, yeah, happy birthday to Bob Backlund. The next one is kind of sad because he passed away this week. Beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Oh.
So we wish him a birthday cap posthumous.
Who you said? You said Bobby
Beautiful
Eaton?
Bobby from the Midnight Express.
Okay, I thought you said Bobby Heenan.
No, Bobby Eaton. Beautiful Bobby.
Oh, okay.
That song, that's what I'm saying. That song takes ass.
That's one of the only ones I ever got right on Guess That Tune, remember? That's one of my correct answers.
Beautiful Bobby, sweet Sam, I'm Jim Cornette, Lisa my boy. Woo!
Oh, hell. Yeah. So, man, rest in peace, Bobby Eaton. And you know, man, it's tough. You know, what it was so sad, man, when I read the article that morning. And they're asking for money, you know, for the burial, funeral services and stuff. And it's like, man, it's so sad to see these wrestlers go out like this, you know? They gave it all they had for many, 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 many years. And they entertained me throughout the way. Bobby Eaton, the Midnight Express. I mean, I used to watch these guys in Mid-South, Georgia Championship Wrestling, WWE or WWF. I mean, they were everywhere. He was with Dennis Condrey first, and then it was Stan Lane. They had multiple Midnight Expresses. I think they had three different versions. Maybe even four, I'm not sure. But anyway, they were asking for money on, you know, for GoFundMe, and if you wish to donate, you can look that up. I don't have any information, but it's just sad to see that wrestlers, many wrestlers end up like that. you know, without a...
That's the way that story goes, dude. It's been like that forever.
Yeah.
It's starting to change. Like, maybe the guys from this generation and, like, the last couple generations of wrestlers, like, they won't end up like that.
I don't think the Young Bucks will end up like that. The Hardys, you know, I mean, I don't
think
they'll end up
like
that.
The Hardys, Jeff especially, is very lucky that he hasn't already ended up like that, in my opinion. I think that those guys could have already, they've come dangerously close to being in that same, like, just the retired wrestler, the wrestler that's, like, hanging on, like, in the movie, you know, like, the movie The Wrestler. It's like that story or whatever. So Jeff's been really close to that a couple of times. They keep having
It's still pretty far to tell, you know what I mean? But, you know, I hate to say it too, but, yeah, you're going to see some guys and girls from this generation, you know, in 20 years hawking autographs at a fucking Comic-Con in Timbuktu. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it is.
So there's
nothing wrong
with that either. It's like you just don't want the bad parts of life. And I don't think that Bobby per se is like what we're talking about. But, yeah, just in general, there's that story of a wrestler that's, like, down on his luck at the end of his life, and that does suck.
Yeah, that sucks a lot. It's
save
a
your money. Save your money.
Yep. You're not always going to have it. And it's a live and learn, unfortunately. So, yeah. Bobby Eaton. Let's see here. Buddy Landell, who was, I remember this guy, but he was a local guy, I think, in the San Antonio area. He may have had other success. I'm sure he did. 1961. Kofi Kingston. Who
cares? He hasn't been on TV in weeks.
1981. Kofi Kingston. He's up there, man. He's up there. He's still flying around, too, man. He still puts on them badass matches, even though, you know, they use him the way he uses him. You still got to give him credit. He's still a fucking mega talent.
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano, also August 14. Christian, anything on Johnny?
I would not be surprised if he gets let go, too. Not be surprised if he gets released soon.
Everybody's at risk, potentially. I mean, like, nobody's safe.
Yeah.
I would imagine so right now, KVA. It seems that way. I mean, shit.
Not even going to be surprised.
Dirty Dick Murdoch.
Start a death pool.
Man,
you want to start a death pool for who we think is going to get fired next?
Man, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's too
morbid.
I don't want anybody to get fired.
It's going to happen anyway.
Dirty Dick Murdoch, 1946.
There you go. What a badass.
Yeah, that guy was badass.
Really fun to go back on YouTube and watch anything with him in it, because he was fucking dirty. And he was huge. He was just this hoss. Like all them cowboys that just used to beat each other's ass. It's really funny.
And he was a dick.
Yeah, a dirty dick.
Literally. Yeah.
You know who else is a dick?
Oh.
Also has a birthday, August 16th. Big Cass.
Big Cass XL. That's his new name, by the way. XL. Extra large.
He's on his road to redemption.
I hope so.
Yeah, okay. He's still a shit wrestler. I feel
like he needed to fucking work out a little bit more, man. If he was going to be terrible, you know, like in the rain. Which he was. He should have at least
their whole thing with him.
Worked out a little more and looked a little more dominating or something. If you're gonna, you know, have that role placed on you.
If you're gonna have the word big in your name, you need to be big, right?
Right.
Not
right.
just small, but you gotta be big.
He's an impact right now.
And he got in better shape.
Doesn't he have like a weird name in Impact? Like.
Yes. Kaz.
Yeah, it's a stupid name. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Stupid.
Oh, it's like a different. He has like another name in Impact.
Yeah, it's a weird name.
He had a couple moments where he shined. I mean, both of those guys were cool for a little while, but he had a couple moments where I was like, yeah, he could definitely like be bigger than just this. But then we know how that went. But happy birthday anyways. It's good. He's on his road to redemption.
Yeah.
We see him in WWE again one day in the future. When Triple H owns everything and his kids are running the show, we'll see a 60-year-old Kaz.
Listen, I want to be completely honest. I don't think Triple H is going to run shit, all right? I think he's legit lost the passion for it now after the death of his creation, all right?
Yeah,
so
I think he's going to sell it.
Yeah.
I think he's going to sell it, and it might be sooner rather than later. But and we'll probably touch on that for a little while. Hey, Cedric Alexander also has a
birthday.
1989. Man, bro. Cedric Alexander was horrible the last time I saw him. I mean, it's the same old song and dance with this guy. I don't see him getting any better. And, man.
Tragic story. Another tragic story.
I'm surprised he didn't get the axe yet.
Happy birthday.
They brought him so high up with the Hurt Business, but then they took away the Hurt Business, and now he's back to being a piece of shit.
Man.
Yeah, he sucks.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. But that's where we're at, and happy birthday to everybody, right? Happy birthday.
Yeah.
I know, right? This is why I say we do it in comedic fashion. We talk wrestling.
Yeah.
In comedic fashion, because, I mean, holy shit, happy fucking birthday. But this
week in wrestling.
Yeah,
they get roasted on their birthday.
That happy birthday. This week in wrestling history, no less, I used to have a promo for that, but then we never really did it, so I never really used it. Here's a shitty promo. It's a shitty promo, too.
Wrestling History 101 with Albert Inspector.
I'm supposed to be doing that, right?
Well, it turned into, the idea was grand. It was a grandiose idea, but then we stopped doing it, and then I found this article. And I started doing this day in wrestling history, or today in wrestling history, or whatever. And so it worked out, but the promo goes.
It turned into one of those things where it's like, I've got time in the week to do a bunch of extra shit, and then it doesn't happen, you know.
No, believe
right?
me. All I do is type in today in wrestling history, and then I put in the date, and then the article comes up, and then I got to go back. I got to go up 4 years, though, because this shit was written 4 years ago. So
Here we go. This day in wrestling history. Eddie Gilbert versus Cactus Jack 3 times in 1 night at Polynesian Hot Summer. Our Dr. Death makes his ECW debut. This day in wrestling history. ECW Heat Wave 1998 happens. Bruno Sammartino beats Buddy Rogers, but gets the title back. And more.
You're on the one that has way too many details, bro. that one, I've seen that one too, man. I'm like, oh, hell no, we're not doing that one.
This day in wrestling history, John Cena takes a dump at the Toyota Center and Big Cass runs in.
We would have to record it at regular speed. You could record it at regular speed, then I could increase it to make it sound like, you know, like you're one of those commercials, and then at the end they start talking like this and shit, blah, 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 blah. All they do is speed it up, and I have the ability of doing that, and then we could put some music to it. So if you want to do that, Albert, hey,
all right, we'll do it.
You can
send it to me anytime you want,
baby.
You've been interested in history yet. I got
but
a popcorn at SmackDown.
It's a lot easier to open up the article that I read, and it's from Cage Side Seats.
Man.
So thank you, by the way, Cage Side Seats, from the notorious Eddie Mack. Over at Cage Side Seats. Done 4 years
Boo.
Ago.
I just feel like
done 4 years ago, so I got to fucking, you know, I got to keep this straight. So 39 plus 4 is how many years? 43 years ago today, guys. And then we get Christian asking, wait a minute, what year was that? I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know. I don't know. You're going to have to figure that one out and then get back to me. But 43 years ago in Fort Myers, Florida, just a day shy of his 24th birthday, Hulk Hogan made his professional wrestling debut against Brian Blair. Anybody know Hulk Hogan or Brian
Blair? I know Brian Blair. You know who I know? How I know who Brian Blair is? Because
the Iron Sheik
always just fucks the Brian Blair. Fuck the fucking Brian Blair.
He
I
said,
have no
what?
Idea who Brian Blair is, but Sheik fucking Sheiky Baby hates that guy, dude.
He wasn't called Hulk Hogan at this point.
What was he called, Christian?
I think it was called his real name.
His voice
was
called
Terry
Bollea,
yeah.
Terry Boulder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right,
Terry
yeah.
Boulder.
That's right.
And he was in a tag team. He was in a tag team with Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and they were the Boulder brothers.
Wow.
he tried doing with the whole rope thing, you know?
Fuck the whole
Brian
Blair.
So not only is it his birthday, but it's also the day he debuted. How about that? Fighting for what's right.
Nobody really talks about his debut because it's not really that great. It's not really interesting. Nobody really talks about it.
Albert, you were saying?
What? About what?
I don't know. You started to say something.
Oh, yeah. About Terry the Hulk Boulder. Yeah, it was Terry Boulder. And then they were, like, on TV, like, in Memphis, I want to say. And they brought Lou Ferrigno on.
Oh,
Terry Boulder was actually bigger than Lou Ferrigno at the time.
Oh,
and
wow.
So they that's how they nicknamed him the Hulk. And he became Terry the Hulk Boulder after that, which eventually
became
the Hulk Hogan.
Great, dude.
Yeah. And you know what? You guys know that Marvel actually owns the name Hulk Hogan?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you guys know that either. Yeah, Marvel owns the name Hulk Hogan. And they licensed it to him because of you know, the Incredible Hulk. So they started billing him as the Incredible Hulk Hogan. And then eventually Marvel got pissed off and said, well, you can't use the Incredible Hulk Hogan because, of course, the Incredible Hulk. So they started calling him the Immortal Hulk Hogan. And they ended up with some deal that even to this day, I think Marvel gets a piece of Hulk Hogan's wherever he shows up.
Royalty.
Like, that's just how it is.
Dang.
Yeah, they get like a very small cut, but they still do.
Right. Wow.
Pinky bastard.
I think it's like every match, too. Every match that he wrestled, Marvel Studios or Marvel Comics then would get $200. It's a weird deal, man. Look it up.
I love it. Thank you, Albert, for taking the time to look that up. I'm sure you did it on the fly tonight, but fuck, that was killer. That was a killer save. Albert with the save. Because I had nothing more of that.
No, I just knew that.
They have, like, badass Marvel comics with him in them, too. Like, he's, like, a character. Like, Terry
really?
Bollea is a recurring character in the Marvel Universe. And, like, yeah. He's, like, I'm Googling it. That's funny. That's cool.
Wow.
That's some Ninja Turtle shit.
Yeah, I bet you those comics are worth some cash.
I'd rather watch a G.I. Joe episode of Sergeant Slaughter than read Hulk Hogan.
Let's see
yeah,
here,
right.
guys. Okay, so that was Hulk Hogan 36 years ago today, guys. At a Georgia Championship wrestling taping in St. Louis, Missouri. Sylvester Ritter, a.k.a. the Junkyard Dog, made his WWF debut with a quick victory over Max Blue. One probably would
Boo.
Have thought nothing of it, guys. But Mid-South Wrestling Brass, particularly owner Bill Watts, Cowboy Bill Watts, was none too pleased. It turned out that Ritter didn't give any notice that he was leaving. And this is how they found out.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
That's bad business.
It is, man.
Cowboy Bill Watts fucking sucked. He was a horrible WCW president. He sucked.
Cowboy Bill.
Who did
was.
You prefer as president?
I don't know.
Jim
Eric
Crockett?
Bischoff against the Leaf.
Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff, yeah.
Yeah, Bischoff. Yeah, that was the best.
I mean, Cowboy Bill Watts was one of the people that almost put WCW under already in the early stages. The fucking incompetent fuck.
So, get this.
I don't know enough about the guy.
It was bad business because he was once the face of Mid-South Wrestling. This guy. There was nothing bigger than fucking the Junkyard Dog in Mid-South Wrestling. With Paul Bosch and all that shit. And the Houston Wrestling and shit. And so he got buried after that. They accused him of bulking up to be able to properly handle Kamala and King Kong Bundy and leaving for easier competition.
Hey, listen. If money talks,
who cares what they thought?
Yeah.
Well, it was not only that, you know, because he was the second biggest babyface on the roster in his early days, but his ballooning weight and drug issues saw him become a mid-carder and jobber to the stars before leaving the WWF altogether in 1988. Yeah, he had a tragic ending to his career.
When
he,
you talk about
really, he got really
old
big.
Wrestling, like when I, yeah, his name is like one that always pops up when I talk to somebody about like, hey, like an older person, did you watch wrestling when you were younger? Do you watch wrestling? They always talk about Junkyard Dog. So the guy must have been super over, especially
huge
down here.
Baby face, bro. I fucking hated his guts. I fucking hated it. He had a great little dance and shit.
I honestly need to go watch that stuff because if he was so over, there's a reason. I need to go watch it.
He was very charismatic, dude. And, I mean, he just had a way. He was very charismatic. And, yeah, he was great. He was great at what he did. Much respect to him and happy birthday. No, wait, but it's not his birthday. It was when he debuted on this day way back. 36 years ago, Georgia Championship Wrestling. So let's see here. Oh, yeah. 24 years ago, this is it, guys. WCW presented Hog Wild from the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in Sturgis, South Dakota. 5,000 in attendance. Man, only 5,000. In attendance.
That's pathetic.
With 22,000 homes watching on
like,
paper.
The footage of it is, the footage of it was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. You got the mountains and shit in the background, the bikes and all that shit.
Well, it's cool, but then you got to hear those fucking motorcycles throughout the entire pay-per-view, and it takes away everything. Dude, those fucking obnoxious sounds.
It's kind of badass. I like, that gives it such a Street Fighter feel, like such a, like, because in video games they'd be fighting, like, in these weird settings. And they've done stuff like that recently, but, like, I mean, that's like, the best example I can think of. Dude, it's Sturgis at a biker rally. That's pretty sick.
Dude.
And they got a bunch
Saturday
of cool footage. Like, there's all these shots of the wrestlers messing around and stuff, like, having fun at the rally.
It was on a Saturday night, guys. And it was a big-ass fucking card, okay? Now, what's great about this, and actually it's great because, you know, it's highly coincidental that, you know, WWE is throwing SummerSlam on a Saturday night this year.
For one.
So we could compare the cards because, let me tell you, man, the fucking pre-show, which was WCW Saturday night, okay, saw the pre-show that aired. That had fucking good matches on there. Matches that fucking, you know, like, it was a good pre-show, okay? You're not going to see this many matches on a WWE card, including their fucking pre-show, and that's what's fucked up about it. You got too many people that are getting paid just for sitting back there in the fucking back doing nothing. They need to fucking, if they don't put the fucking show on for fucking 4 or 6 hours, however long they fucking have us watching that shit with a 2-hour goddamn pre-show and then a 4-hour show, they need to have fucking some serious matches on the card, not just fucking 10 fucking matches, including the goddamn pre-show. That's all I'm saying. But this card in the pre-show, which was WCW Saturday Night, saw the Public Enemy defeat Dick Slater and Mike Enos. Conan defeated Chavo Guerrero Jr. The Nasty Boys defeated High Voltage. Alex Wright defeated beautiful Bobby Eaton. Kevin Sullivan, Meng, and the Barbarian defeated Joe Gomez, Jim Powers, and Mike Starr. David Taylor defeated Mr. JL. Diamond Dallas Page defeated the Renegade. And Arn Anderson defeated Hugh Morris. Then we go to the pay-per-view. Bro.
Ah, yes. The Renegade.
Hey.
The Renegade.
I'm talking about the guy Mike Anus. Who's Mike Anus?
Mike Anus.
He means you Morris, I think.
No, he said
no,
Mike
Anus.
Mike Anus. That's a different guy.
I thought you said Mike Anus, and I was like, did they do my boy Mike Awesome all wrong in WCW, and I didn't know about it, or what?
Mike Awesome wasn't there yet. This was in 1997. He wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
That pay-per-view.
Caliber of stars you had on here. Public Enemy.
He had a license plate on his thumb. It said Anus on.
Conan.
Really weird.
Chavo.
That's fine. Conan versus Chavo's fine.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson is always going
to
be good.
You
but the rest fucking sucks.
Come on, man. You got a problem with Diamond Dallas Page defeating the Renegade?
He's fighting against
the
nobody. He's fighting against a nobody like the Renegade.
I have no idea who the Renegade is.
I'm
just
Googling it.
What about Mike Starr? I remember that name.
I don't know who that
nobody is. He was a nobody, too.
But Mike Starr.
No, the
Renegade.
Nevertheless.
Fucking
Renegade
Public Enemy versus High Voltage.
Who was
Renegade?
He was the
WCW version of the Ultimate Warrior. He was the ripoff of the Warrior.
Oh fuck! Guys, speaking of ripoffs, that shit sucked. We have obviously WWE owns The Fiend. What if they did something stupid like make another Fiend like they used to do back in the day with Kane and fucking all them other all them other guys and shit? What if they put fucking Elias Sampson as fucking The Fiend?
Nuclear.
Crazy shit.
I think there's a conversation about Alexa
nuclear
and everything, the whole situation with this. I think they need to get as far away from this shit as possible. They need to change Alexa and get as far away from Lily and the Fiend and all that shit.
Also, now you don't like the character, Kevin.
Bro, did you all see what happened on Raw?
God.
Did y'all see?
Yeah,
it was bad enough.
Now,
it was bad enough last
now
week when the doll stood up. But they winked and, like,
stop
the whole thing. It's like the doll winked. That was stupid. The live crowd, like, played into it. It seemed like. I was like, oh, my gosh. So maybe, but, like, dude, it's so cheesy. And Alexa, the gimmick sucks. Like, it's just stale now. I think it's stale. This week it was definitely stale, and the wink was what killed it for me. The winks.
Yeah, Clay.
Hallelujah. You see the light, my brother. You have
it's
seen Clay. The light.
It's Clay, Christian. And they need to fucking take her off of TV for a few weeks. And then repackage her.
No, they need to tell the story of her killing Lily. They need to do the story of her killing Lily and then be done with it.
Dewdrop kills Lily for her.
I don't know. No. Dewdrop's pretty cool though. Dewdrop's growing on me, but
Lily and Dewdrop become best friends
in that match. There's a spot in the match when Alexa comes out of the ring and she walks around to Eva and Eva throws a punch at her. Christian, did you see it's like the worst punch I ever seen in my life. It's the worst. Eva's expression doesn't change. She looks like a Simbot, like one of these, like a Uncanny Valley, like kind of thing. Like she's not real.
Well, she's useless, bro. Eva Marie's useless, bro.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Yeah, but it was bad. And the pay-per-view is going to be bad, and I'm telling you. I'm at a point where I'm like desperate to find something to do, some bands to go see or something on Saturday night or something, because they're going to shut shit down soon again.
Yeah, and they're going to go back to the Thunderdome.
No, yeah, well, I'm not talking about fucking wrestling. I'm talking about just fucking things in general. So I'm desperate to fucking find something to do this weekend or next weekend or whatever. And I'm not too sure. If I can find something good to do, I'm not going to be around for fucking SummerSlam. Fuck that shit. I'll watch it on the fucking rebound because, you know, I have the
peace out. There's going to be crowds for SummerSlam, but they have to just wear a mask. Oh, that's
still
going to happen,
but still,
isn't this crazy?
You know, I mean,
isn't
it
crazy that they're talking about shutting down
live?
Everything again? What is Albert? Albert, what do you think about this? Like, they should just not do crowds, right? If the threat is that we need to close down the country again,
I'm not going to get into the fucking COVID. But you know what? Like, everybody just needs to do a fucking shutdown of the entire country for like a fucking 3 weeks or a month. Let this fucking virus die down and then just go back to normal fucking life, because that's the only way it's going to fucking happen. Not like you got shut down over here or shut down over there. I hate government control and all this shit, but you know what, dude? Like, it needs to fucking just die off, dude. And we need to get back to normal life as quick as possible. Everybody needs to fucking mask up, dude. And this shit needs to just fucking go away, because it's pissing me off, dude. I'm not going to say that, it doesn't fucking... It's just a fucking pandemic, or it's not fucking real, because it is very much real, but it's very irritating at the same time. There's people who are just...
The reality of it is that here in the Houston area, okay, they have the 19 counties or 16 counties, whatever the hell they say the Houston area for us. It's 6 million people, 6 million plus. And the reality of it is that 8,000 people have died. So, you know, yeah, people have died, but people die every year of the fucking flu. So, I mean, what fuck? You're talking about 0.01110, whatever the hell. It's a bunch of 0.0001 and shit of the percentage that you're going to die if you get this shit.
Yeah.
That's the fucking reality of it. Tell people everybody's going
to
get it. You're either going
to
make it or you're not going to make it, and that's it. We're going to move on now.
Yeah.
That's,
all right.
That's
not what I was getting at, really. I was more talking about, like, WWE allowing crowds. If they're going to shut down, they just got out of the Thunderdome. And now they're doing crowds again. Like, how many shows are they going to run with crowds before they...
They're going to do it for a few weeks. It's a few weeks.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that it looks like they're going to start shutting down the country again, the way they did last year. So that's I'm just
speculating.
Here's
the problem.
We're not sure yet.
But here's the problem. They shouldn't still be advertising this whole Summer of Cena shit and the fact that they're doing live crowd tickets when they know they have to go back to the Thunderdome. They shouldn't be still airing that shit. John Cena ain't going to visit these
nobody knows, too.
They're going to do it until the very
end. This isn't a political show, but that's where it does get into politics with wrestling. It blends right there. And
let's move on. The rest of the history on this, guys, we had a hell of a pay-per-view. We had the little Chihuahua Rey Mysterio Jr.
Are you talking about Hog Wild?
Defeated the Ultimate Dragon to defend to retain the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. Norton defeated Ice Train, which I remember Christian got the Ice Train theme wrong that time.
Oh, you need to play that. You need to play that again. You need to play. That's the best fucking theme song in wrestling history. Ice Train theme.
That was awful.
Medusa defeated Bull Nakano.
Awful.
As a result of the win, Medusa was allowed to destroy Nakano's motorcycle. Wow. They destroyed a motorcycle at a motorcycle place. Wow.
So so far, one good match and the rest is shit. Continue, Minister.
Chris Benoit defeated Cinco de Malenko.
That's good.
That had to be a great match. I don't remember. I remember I was watching this, but I don't remember the specifics. I was also drinking, and it's been the hell of a year.
They're both, I guess they're both Four Horsemen members, and they wanted to prove who's the best member of the Four Horsemen, I guess.
Yeah.
I watched this on the network one time.
I should go back and watch
it. You were going hog wild, weren't you?
What's that?
You were going hog wild. That's what you meant to say.
I was. At this time, I was in my prime. And, you know, I was, oh, my God. I was, you know, shit. I was drinking. God knows what else I was doing. But, well, I had the fun,
brother.
You know. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't remember a fucking thing from it except the very end. Like, Hogan with the title spray painting and shit. That left a fucking badass fucking image in my head. The rest was just, you know, the rest. But let's continue. Chris Benoit defeated Dean Malenko. And it would have to be, I got to go relive this before I fucking cancel the fucking network.
It was probably for who's the best Horseman member.
Yeah, but it still had to be a great match. I wonder how long it was.
Probably 10 minutes.
Yeah, probably so. Harlem Heat, with Booker T and Stevie Ray, defeated the Steiner Brothers.
Hey,
Rick and Scott Steiner, to retain
good match.
The WCW World Tag Team Championships.
Good match.
Ric Flair defeated Eddie Guerrero to retain the WCW United States Championship.
Whoa.
Good match.
Yeah. The Outsiders, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, defeated Sting and Luger.
Good match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Did Christian just say a Lex Luger, a match involving Lex Luger was a good match? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and a match involving Kevin Nash.
Well, that's because Sting was carrying him throughout the entire match. That's why it's good.
That's how I see it going. I see Lex being on the ropes a lot.
Yeah.
Sting carrying Luger.
It's going on.
Yeah, Lex is selling, and Sting comes in with the hot tag.
Yeah.
Lex is a master at selling, dude. Jesus Christ. I love Lex Luger. I don't know if I've told you guys this before. The guy's fantastic. I have an autographed Lex Luger, fucking 8x12. It's going up in my bathroom. It says hard work pays off with him flexing, just so I can be reminded every day that I need to be, you know, working hard to get that body that I want, you know? But, he was a master at selling. That's what he was doing.
You know who's worse than Lex Luger? Fucking Nash, man. Nash is shit. I'm sorry. His fucking Nash is fucking.
Somehow I knew this would come up.
His fucking match is garbage. Sorry.
I think I got a bro crush on Kevin Nash. I just like no matter how much bad he does, I'm always like, that guy's cool.
No,
yeah,
his personality is cool and all. I'm not dissing his personality and his charisma. I'm just saying his in-ring work is shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But he still looks cool, so it like makes up for it.
Yeah.
There's still wrestlers like today where I'm like, he looks cool.
Yeah, this motherfucker still looks cool. I saw a picture of him just yesterday or today, I was reading an article, and then, you know, down below there was other articles and shit, and there was a picture of fucking Kevin Nash. And he's got this fucking cool-ass fucking silver hair and a cool-ass fucking silver beard. And I got a little jealous, man, because I'm like, fuck. My fucking beard is fucking silver as fuck, man, but my fucking hair is all dark and shit, and it looks fucking horrible. I got a little jealous, man. I was like, fuck.
Get that touch of gray, dude.
Because he died.
You gotta get on that touch of gray.
My hair is like really dark still, man. And my fucking beard is like all fucking white. And but anyway,
too much.
I digress.
No, there's countless Kevin Nash videos. His wrestling probably sucks, but I can listen to him talk about a bunch of shit for sure.
And he breathes
really heavy when he's talking. He's like so uncomfortable to listen to every time he's in an interview too, because he's breathing heavy, or he's drinking beer, or he's like, there's one I've talked about on the show where he's eating spaghetti the whole time, and it's fucking it's the best shoot interview ever. It's so funny.
Let's see, where were we? Oh, yeah. Then Hollywood Hulk Hogan defeated the Giant to win the WCW World Heavyweight Championship.
That match blew.
The post-match saw Hogan spray paint the WCW World title.
That
also,
match blew.
Eddie Leslie was then as the Booty Man, tried to join the New World Order, but was rejected and assaulted by the NWO.
Yeah.
It would be Leslie's final appearance for the company until he returned in February of 98 as the Disciple. He took a good beating.
He was the Booty Man, and then he came back as the Disciple?
Yeah.
Cool. Upgrade.
Yeah.
He was with...
Right?
Not really an upgrade. He sucked, too. He sucked as that.
I think I would definitely, if they gave me the option of the two gimmicks, though, I would pick the Disciple over the Booty. But really, the Booty guy gets over a lot faster than the Disciple, probably.
Yeah. You know, he sucked. It doesn't matter what gimmick the Barber Beefcake had. All his gimmicks sucked.
I'm gonna come up with a game for us to play where we'll pick between two gimmicks every week. I'll present somebody with some options.
I'll say this: when he was the Disciple, I don't really remember him being the Booty Man, but I read about it later and I thought it was fucking hilarious and all. But when he was the Disciple, like me and my brothers and my cousins who used to watch wrestling religiously had no idea that it was Brutus Barber Beefcake. That's how good it was. It wasn't until I think we read it in a magazine months later. We're like, holy shit, that's Brutus.
I was the same way, dude. I was the same way. I didn't remember who any of these. They would repackage them, and to me, they did such a good job repackaging them that I wouldn't even recognize them until somebody else told me. And I'd be like, oh, get the fuck out of here. That's who that is?
Hell yeah.
He packaged my ass. They gave him so many gimmicks, he didn't stay with one for a year.
Chuck was a straight-up mark. Chuck was a real mark back then. He couldn't tell that it was the same dude. He was like, oh.
I couldn't.
That's old boy.
I did.
Chuck was like, how the fuck did the Ultimate Warrior end up in the beer in Hogan's dressing room?
Yeah.
I could give a fuck about Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior. To me, that shit was fucking carnival shit. It was fake.
Do you think that that's comparable? You think Ultimate Warrior being in the mirror is comparable to Lily winking during her match on Raw this week?
It is.
No.
It's the same style of shit, Christian. Come on.
Yeah, but the whole doll winking is so much fucking stupid than that. I'm sorry.
They gave us fair warning that they were going to be doing shit like that even in matches. And this is them living up to their fucking words. Just like fucking Nancy Pelosi gave us fair fucking warning that they weren't fucking gonna, they weren't done yet until fucking they fucking had everything done their way. And here we are, everything is getting done their way and the fucking country's in fucking shit right now. But I digress. Albert, what song did you want to hear, Albert? What song did you tell me you need to play that song?
Oh, the Ice Train theme song, man. The Ice Train song. The best song in professional wrestling history. One up.
That is good. And so with that, we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Stay where you're at. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. Get the Ice Train going on. Generation. Podcast Network. Stay tuned. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, DAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there. Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast, season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Podcast.
Last week was a starting point, a huge turning point for WCW, because in the post-match celebration of my world title victory, we saw WCW wrestlers. Last week was a starting point, a huge turning point for WCW. It was in the post-match celebration of our world title victory. We saw WCW wrestlers.
Sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Swami, what's so important, brother?
We got fucking text. Somebody texted us right now. I don't know if it was Kevin or Albert, but we just got a fucking image of WShop.com selling a fucking Lily plushie doll for $30. Are they out of their mind?
I thought you would like that. So if there's, I think that because it's a pre-order item too, I think that if there's any question of if she's gonna stay with this gimmick, it's out now. Like she's gonna stay with this gimmick for a while longer, for sure.
I want it. Thank you.
$30.
I like Lily. The Lily doll's kind of cute. Dude, you know how fuck? I have a 3-year-old daughter. It would freak her the shit out if I got a doll like that. She would not like
really?
It. I have action figures. She's kind of cute. My daughter's like doesn't like certain wrestling action figures I have already. Like, what makes them think that little girls are gonna like Lily? It's ironic. I get it. It's ironic. It's not supposed to be for little girls. But like,
I don't know, man. I think I'm going to get myself one so I can sleep with it. I mean, it'll be the closest I'll ever get to Alexa Bliss.
A bunch of neckbeards are going to buy it. It's going to be a bunch of, like, wrestling fans that are just, like, 30-something, 40-something dudes that, like, have a Lily doll in their house.
Creepy, man. This is fucking stupid.
Apparently my comment was missed there, but I digress.
No, we heard you.
Got to creep it up a little. Got to creep it up. Speaking of creeps, there was a creepy story with that guy, Rob Gronkowski's friend, who used to wrestle on WWE.
Mojo Rawley.
There you go. Rob Gronkowski's friend. And he was creeping up Alexa Bliss's party. I thought that was kind of funny, but could it be that he lives down the street?
Probably.
I'm sure.
In the same neighborhood?
No,
I mean,
I was on his Instagram, and they follow my Instagram. By the way, the new Pro Wrestling Planet's on Instagram, so go like Beat Pro Wrestling Planet. But
I'm gonna go like it right now.
No, there was like before, like it was just a weird thing because like before, it was like part of his story, but it was like you know the story's like in sections. So like the first section was like him sitting on the couch drinking a beer, and it looked like he was inside Alexa Bliss's house. And then it was just like maybe they were like just fucking around, got drunk, like whatever, and he just made that stupid little video. So it wasn't really him like creeping around. He was already there. He just made a fucking video of him outside her house.
It's
you know,
funny.
Like
I found it funny.
Yeah,
I found it funny personally. But so yeah, creepy crawlies. The Alexa Bliss doll. Let's see here. Moving on. You know, I think it's a good time to fucking do my favorite segment of the show. I mean, why not, right? Do we know what the favorite segment is? Say what it is.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly with AEW Weekly.
Oh.
My favorite segment.
Well, it's that time again. We talk about AEW. We talk about AEW Homecoming, which was kind of a disappointing show, to be honest with you, all right?
This
is the Homecoming.
Okay, wait a minute.
Kind of disappointing.
Is that the show that we just witnessed last week?
Yes.
Why did they title every single show something different like that?
Yeah, every episode
it was
of AEW.
It was the Homecoming for Daily's Place, so.
Every episode of AEW does have a title, though. Like, every episode of Dynamite has had a title. It's just not posted, like, on the show anywhere, but on their website, and I think on their Instagram, they post the title of the show.
I see.
Cool.
Do we know what
reason
is for that?
It's
should
fresh.
I start doing
it's
that
fresh.
With Fatal 4-Way Radio?
Yeah, no, it's so
no.
cool. It's super cool when people do that. It's like the Friends
Fatal
thing where it's like the one,
radio.
With the one with all the Thanksgivings and stuff. Like the one where
continues.
Chandler becomes a pro wrestler. The one with David Arquette.
Fatal 4-Way Radio. Albert becomes an actor.
Oh, my God.
Fatal 4-Way Radio. Christian has a cow.
No.
Christian has a cow? That's every day.
Yeah.
We start with the report, guys.
I never want to go out to eat with this guy.
Oh, my God. Is that why you never call me, dude? Come on, man. You've been in fucking Houston how many? 8 weeks now?
Oh, no. That's not why.
I'll tell you why. It's because I'm a fucking flaming fucking, conservative. Oh, hell. No, man, but let's move on.
AEW Weekly with Christian.
Yes.
We start with the report with the most disappointing opening match ever, which was Juventud Guerrero versus
Chris Jericho.
This match was shit.
What did you expect?
It was
man?
Cool. It was two old dudes just like going at it.
No, dude, this was
like,
sad. This is fucking sad.
Let me tell you
especially,
something, though. Some of these guys have, I mean, at least them two, I mean, yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't the best match and shit, but let me tell you something, man, they could still fucking go for being their
it's
age
so cool,
and
yeah.
shit.
It's just cool that they did it too. Like the concept of the match and the booking of it is kind of cool. Like let's fight somebody from your past. Like that's pretty badass. And like it's not cheesy. Yeah. They did it in a way where they capitalized on WCW, but they didn't do it in like a really cheesy way. It was classy or whatever.
I know it's cool, but I'm not blaming Jericho for the match. I'm blaming Juventud. He's shit. I'm sorry. Like
Jericho matched with like AW talent is better than like bringing in. I mean, you know, Juventud, God bless him, is probably working like a bunch of indie shows and lucha shows and stuff like that. And they're both probably working with like faster, younger talent that are carrying them. So when you get two vets that are more like ring generals kind of calling matches and doing slower styles or whatever, you know, Juventud's still cruiserweight, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it is harder with two old cats versus like an old cat and a young cat.
Yeah.
I still have
mad respect for Jericho, though.
They told the story.
As big as he is. All right, Christian, continue, please.
Up next, Adam Page got destroyed by Kenny Omega's group. Adam Page has cut ties with the Dark Order, I think. And he got completely fucking destroyed. Made him look like a piece of shit. Losing clean 2 weeks ago. And fucking makes him look like a piece of shit. That's like, what the fuck?
It's
I don't get it.
He's self-destructive. He's this self-destructive character. It's like if Stone Cold, instead of being like an ass-whooping redneck, was like a fucking introspective, like drunk redneck. You know, like a guy who, like, I like the story of Adam, like falling into like drinking and like turning his back on people and doubting himself and stuff. It is cool. It's the coolest story
in wrestling
right now.
It's cool, but you know the main event for All Out is Scrap now. So what the fuck is this about? Like, why are they beating him up and
it's gonna be a longer story?
Like
it's just a longer payoff. It's just him like secluding himself even more. Like he's gonna be. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know
why they postponed it. They postoned it because these other guys are coming in. Because these other guys are coming in. I think
why.
That CM Punk and Daniel Bryan fucked it up for him. Yeah.
Yeah. CM Punk versus Kenny Omega All Out. You know why.
We don't know that.
Wow. They fucked it up for him.
Next AEW World Champion CM Punk. You know it. Chicago. Anyway. Yeah. So there's that. The next labor for Jericho is going to be Wardlow. And I guess MJF is the special guest.
I guess this is the perfect time to ask. What is all this fucking shit, this labor shit?
No, it's the five labors. And if he conquers five labors, he faces MJF. He's already defeated three. Now
MJF came up with
MJF. Yeah.
Spotting fucking Seth Rollins fucking stealing his fucking line.
What?
Seth Rollins on Monday on SmackDown fucking said, because I'm better than you and or some shit, and that's fucking MJF's line.
That's just regular shit. Everybody said I'm better than you. Every heel says that. That's not really a slogan.
It's funny because it's like MJF can capitalize on that. Even if it is like a casual phrase, like he can be like, hey, like, and get more heat for himself. Like just by, he's getting more views and shit just by that happening. So that's pretty cool. It's a cool catchphrase to have because you could do that. That's funny.
Right? I mean, that was the feeling I got from him.
He's funny. He talks shit so much online, dude. On Facebook, I'm sure he's live on Twitter, but I don't really get on Twitter a lot, but on his Facebook account, he talks so much shit about people. It's hilarious.
So, yeah. So, what else happened in AEW? The Ally faced an Olympic girl I've never seen before. She beat her Ally. So, that's the thing. Christian Cage is officially the next number one contender to face Kenny Omega for the world title. I'm excited for that. We're going to finally see Christian Cage for the world title match against Kenny Omega.
What
that would be good.
What do you think of his backstage promo when he was like singing and like just like being like kind of funny? What'd you think of that promo?
I think he needs to stop doing that, because if he's going in there with Kenny Omega, he needs to be serious.
So it was like when I saw that, like I was
I thought it was
too. This
in the 90s.
Oh, this is damaging. Yeah. He was acting like 90s Christian.
Yeah, it was stupid, man. I was like, what the fuck is it? Why am I watching this shit?
I don't know. He's not
going to
win
the
belt.
He's like, he's regarded as a great wrestler, like by other wrestlers. Like, he's going to put on. He's going to do good.
He's a great wrestler, but he's not the great wrestler. He's not top tier. I'm sorry. Edge was better than him. I'm sorry.
I think it's a better technical wrestler than Edge. You know, I'll give him that. As far as charisma, though, I think Edge has just a little bit more charisma. But together, they were, like, explosive,
bro.
Man.
He's literally Captain Charisma.
Yeah, he's so
well,
he,
he's not,
his
he's
charisma's
not, that.
Not all there, which is why he has that captain added to it.
He's
you
not
know,
Captain Charisma.
Try to present
AW
himself
right
as the Captain Charisma, but he's not
right.
really the captain only because he says he is.
I don't think he's called
that's
that
funny.
In AEW. Has he been called that
no.
yet? Or?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
That's a WWE
so he's just
for sure.
Page.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the final thing is the important thing in the main event. The show was underwhelming. This is the important thing. Malakai Black in his first match against Cody Rhodes, and it was a complete squash match. Cody lost clean to Malakai. That's a great thing. Malakai looks like a beast. But here's the thing, though. There's ups and downs to this, right? Great that Cody put him over and made him look like a beast, but it sucks because I was really anticipating this match all night for 2 hours, and it ends in fucking 2 minutes. That fucking sucked. I wanted to see a fucking...
Yeah.
15-minute match. You've been hyping this shit for weeks, and it ends by fucking 2 minutes. And then you have Cody Rhodes, right? By the way, the crowd was booing Cody because they've had enough of this babyface shit. He's getting booed. Then he comes to the crowd, does this fake retirement shit, right? Because he's retiring. Yeah, fucking right. He's not even at the right age to retire yet, so that's bullshit. The crowd's booing it. They're not fucking having it. So he takes off his fucking boot. Malakai comes back, attacks him, lays him out, and then the show ends there. What an underwhelming show to end in a homecoming, you know? The crowd wasn't fucking buying it. They were booing Cody. They're sick of his face turn. I don't know why, though, because he's putting people over. So I don't get it, right? I understand that people don't like his face run, but he is putting people over. So I don't understand where this fucking heat is coming from. He's putting the people you want him to put over, so why the fuck are you booing him? It just can't be only the reason why he's a corny babyface. There has to be a reason why people are fucking booing him. Right? Am I wrong?
Because he's
I think he's starting to get Roman Reigns.
Maybe they're booing the fact that he's retiring. Maybe he was telling them that he's quitting, and they were like, no. And they were booing that, you know? I would boo that if somebody was retiring, like,
They were booing him before the match even started.
Yeah. Well, yeah. AEW is not a bad crowd. They're not a rough crowd or anything, but, like, the wrestling crowds can be wrestling crowds, too. Yeah, I mean, you should listen to them, too. I'm not saying don't listen to them. I guess, I don't know.
I thought
like
it was great.
He's a heel for sure. He should have been a heel the whole time. This babyface run is stupid.
As a new viewer, I thought it was a great fucking segment. I was fucking marking out the whole time. The only thing that, you know, took away from it was Cody's fucking, you know, enlarged tongue or whatever the fuck it is that makes him talk the way that makes him speak the way he speaks. But other than that,
listen here, don't talk
great.
About the way my baby talks, baby. All the dusty, all the Rhodes boys got the list, baby. We got a strong overbite, baby. We respect it, Chuck.
Like I said, yes.
With respect on my boy's name.
I would acknowledge the list. Yes, I acknowledge the list. But it was a great fucking segment. I thought I was marking out. I was like, oh, get the fuck out of here. Is he retiring? What the fuck? And then I thought, man, But he's got all this fucking shit. I knew it would be a fake retirement, like, in the sense of, you know, how long it lasted, because all these thoughts are coming to my head. The guy's got a lot of shit going on outside of wrestling. He's got these new shows and shit. So I thought maybe they're building a retirement angle where he's going to be gone for, you know, 4 to 6 months or whatever, and then return later on down the line.
I honestly thought Daniel Bryan was going to show up and knee plus him on the face. I honestly thought Daniel Bryan was going to come out of nowhere.
I didn't think about that, but that would have been badass, too. I mean, just come out and start fucking beating the shit out of Cody.
Yeah. So he's got a fucker.
Or just come out and take the mic out of his hands and tell him, like, you're not done yet. Or you're not, like, you know, something like that. You're not,
the
you're not done until.
No! No!
Yeah. Yes. Oh.
Oh, man.
I marked out just now.
Right? That would have been cool.
I think,
like he gets annoying.
The whole debut.
Right? Like,
the whole debut, I mean, they're
going
to
lock
hold on, Christian.
Yeah, they're going to have to push it back a little bit. They're going to push back Bryan Danielson's debut just a few more weeks, you know, after the Chicago thing. Yeah, I know that they signed CM Punk, or they signed CM Punk after they signed Daniel Bryan, from what I understand, but I think to kind of give it a little bit more, maybe some more anticipation for another, you know, wrestler, a new guy coming in. You know what I mean? They might give it a few more weeks, but I don't know. We'll see. Kind of let the hype die down from CM Punk a little bit, you know?
Yeah, they're going to have to play.
Like, imagine,
it's either going to be like an outsider's kind of invasion angle, or like, or they're going to keep them far apart and we're not going to see them. We're going to see one of them and the other one like two or 3 months later.
Or they come together, you know, that'd be something cool. Like, they come to the crowd together, you know, hop the
that's
barricade,
saying,
fucking,
yeah, like,
that'd be awesome.
The coolest booking I saw, and it's cheesy, but it's just, they're like, you know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. Like, if they both show up together and do something like that, it could be played out really well, or it could suck. And it could be really cheesy because they're rehashing WCW.
Yeah. Like, imagine if when Cody's trying to get out of the ring, right, and he said his retirement, Daniel Bryan comes out of nowhere chanting, no! No! And then Cody Rhodes is trying to go to the locker room. Daniel Bryan's following him, still chanting no, and Cody says, get the fuck away from me!
So, yeah.
Stop following me!
No. Does that wrap up?
Yeah, because I really want. Yeah, that wraps up AEW Weekly, because I really want to talk about SmackDown and Raw. What happened?
Oh God! Really?
Yeah.
All right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where I tell you the shit that happened these past few days, you know? Last week's SmackDown was a fucking boring disaster, you know? Same matches. 10 NXT wrestlers got fired during the show. I called Kevin. I told him 10 fucking people got fired during the fucking show, not after the show, during the show. And the reason why it was boring is because it was the same match. One thing did happen, though. Roman Reigns is fucking boring. I'm sorry, people. Like, I know some people like Roman, but fuck off. He did not help the show at all. In fact, he wasn't even on the show towards the end. He wasn't even in the show towards the fucking end. He didn't even show up. John Cena didn't even fucking show up towards the show last week. He wasn't even there. But he was there when fucking the show went off the air. And they've been doing the same fucking matches off air and live events with fucking Cena and the Mysterios. versus Roman Reigns and the Usos, the same six-man tag every fucking off-air match on SmackDown. That's fucking terrible. So what happened with Roman, right? Well, he did the same boring shit as every week. He don't wrestle. He sits on his ass. He talks all quiet, which you could barely understand what the fuck he's saying.
I hate them.
Finn Balor had a terrible main event match against Baron Corbin. That was shit. Finn Balor called out Roman. Roman came out, did the same fucking boring promo shit, that he's the tribal chief, that he's the head of the table, yon, 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 same old shit. Balor gets jumped by the Usos, which, for some reason, they're not even interacting with Roman Reigns anymore. They just completely stopped that shit now with those segments. That was the only interesting part of the storyline, was the whole Usos dynamic, and now that's simply just done now because they're the tag champs with him now. That's simply done. So, yeah, the Usos get their ass kicked. They can't even, they're so useless, they can't even handle one guy. Roman Reigns comes out back, and then it's a 3-on-1 mugging. Finn Balor gets his ass kicked. Already he's demoted, he's ruined.
Man.
And that's how the show ends for SmackDown.
Yeah,
Roman doing
off.
The same
I was
shit.
Pissed off, dude. I was pissed off how they handled Finn Balor and shit. And just, you know, all this, the whole Karrion Kross thing, Finn Balor. I mean, yeah, Karrion Kross got a little bit of a boost this week, but, and we'll get to that. But fuck, man, Finn Balor, I mean, shit.
Same old shit. Roman's fucking boring. I'm sorry. It's just fucking boring now.
Boring.
Yeah, and SmackDown gets more views. Is that right? SmackDown's like leading in the views. So more people are watching.
SmackDown only has 2.0. They're just in the. They still in that rating. They haven't moved up at all.
But I think they get more than Raw, right? Or somebody was saying, I was reading something that said they get more views than Raw.
Yeah.
They're the more popular show
Friday,
right now. So
that's why.
I got you.
Because it's on the it's because it's on the weekends.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not good. And then Raw was not much better, if you want to go ahead with what happened there.
Yeah. But are you finally seeing the light, Kevin? With Roman?
Oh,
finally
God.
Opening your eyes.
Well, I mean, like,
stop being such a goddamn antagonist.
He can be boring, like, in general. He's boring in general, but then there's like moments where it's good. And, like, in the big matches, the little shred of, like, big pay-per-view feel that we have, I think that are, like, Roman Reigns matches, like, have a big match feel still more than, even if you know that something, that, like, he's going to win, they're exciting to watch. So, yeah, no, say, I don't hate Roman yet.
But you're starting to crack. You're starting to see it.
He's always been boring and goofy since like the green, like the Jack and the Beanstalk days. Like he's already shown us like that's where he came from, and he's not much further yet.
What about you,
but they're booking him. They're booking him really strong.
Yeah, that's the only one. What about you, Albert?
Protect Roman.
Oh, me? Let me tell you. Like, I am so far fucking done and beyond with the WWE product right now. I have no fucking clue what's going on. I didn't watch Raw. I didn't watch SmackDown. I just watched a little bit of AEW this week. You know what? Yeah, I have no clue. I am freed from that now. And maybe it's like how it was in the late 90s, you know, right before the Attitude Era. I was, you know, watching WCW. I didn't really care about what WWF was doing aside from like Bret Hart, you know, but I'm until they start doing better, or you know, then maybe I'll go back and start watching it again. But I just feel like they don't deserve my little like blip in the ratings, you know what I mean? Like they don't deserve my little like TV to be on, you know, even if it's in the background. I only reward like good you know, good wrestling programs, you know what I mean? Like, so I'll just put it on fucking, you know, Oprah fucking channel or something. I'd rather give my little Nielsen blip to Oprah or fucking Mari Povich right now and for making better television, you know?
Yeah. So now we go, now that's out of the way, we go to Raw, where it doesn't get any better.
You're not going to give my take on Roman Reigns?
Oh, I'm sorry, Minister. What is your take on Roman Reigns? Are you starting to see the light, too? Are you starting to crack?
Not quite.
You're almost.
Not quite. I still believe in this guy. He's the ultimate bad guy. He works you over every fucking week. Every week you come here and tell us how much he fucking sucks and how fucking terrible he is.
You will open your eyes soon. You just wait and see.
All right, go ahead. Please continue to Raw.
Now we go to Raw, right? And thank God we have a superstar finally, an actual star. Randy Orton finally returned.
Hell,
nobody explains where he was.
Play
no explanation. What?
Oh shit! I was telling Chuck to cue Randy's theme, bro. We were talking about it before the show. We were jamming out to Randy's theme before the show.
No, Randy. Yeah. So Randy Orton doesn't even cut a promo because 3 seconds later. There you go. So 3 seconds later, Matt Riddle comes out, and you know, Randy Orton says, "Who says I want to be your fucking teammate anymore? Who says I want to be your tag team?" So there you go. RK Bro was about to break up. Then AJ Styles comes out with Omos, and then they antagonize him. And then we get another repeat match in the main event, a match we've seen already 1,000 times, Randy Orton versus AJ Styles, who cares, but almost beats the shit out of Matt Riddle. I'm telling you right now, RK-Bro is the only entertaining shit on Raw. I'm not even lying. I'm not even exaggerating.
I'd like to know, though, what do you think... Christian from Philly, about Randy Orton's mustache and his facial hair. I mean, since you were so fixated on Hernandez.
I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yes, he came back with a completely different look, was even wearing different attire, came out in workout gear, like shorts that are workout-type shorts.
He's done that before.
Okay, so we'll give him that. He's done that before, but the facial hair was definitely something different. It looked like an out-of-work porn star.
Well, that's because he's like the mentor Matt Riddle, so that's why he has to get the facial hair like that. So it's all right.
You know what? You know what he looked like? And it bothered me. Karrion Kross, dude. Him and Karrion Kross look like way too much alike. And I know that they're like their facial structure is a little different. But they both have the same little mustache.
Now
and goatee.
I can't not see that.
They got the same haircut, dude. And I was like, and they're just too similar. I don't like how similar they are. So they got to address that.
Yeah. So we go on. But that's the only positive so far because the rest was shit. We go to the first match, which is dog shit. Drew McIntyre versus Baron fucking Corbin from SmackDown. This Baron
Wait a minute,
Corbin
didn't we have a match before that? Or
no,
was
this was
it?
The first match.
Oh, okay, yeah,
this
it was shit,
first.
Dude.
Dude, this is great, Corbin versus Drew.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. This is great storytelling,
Drew.
Dude. This is great storytelling, and we were talking about this in the thread, but like Corbin, this is the best storyline Corbin's ever done. This is the best work of Corbin's career, and we're like, we should be really enjoying the do what?
The match is still shit.
Corbin to me
looks
like
a cool story. It's like it is cheesy. Like it's way more storytelling than wrestling, but it's so funny, dude. This character and like him, like
come out the big baby face out of this.
I don't think they were trying to put on a 5-star match. I think that like this Corbin thing is like definitely a comedy or a story, like a side story that's going on, and they're giving it a lot of TV time. They're putting Corbin on both shows with this gimmick, and it's really funny.
I'm not talking about Baron Corbin. I'm talking about Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre,
yeah,
shit. I'm sorry.
That's he brought his mom into it, dude. He, like, promo about his mom's cancer and stuff. And like, all due respect, like, save that for a pay-per-view. Like, you don't need to go in on Baron Corbin. It's like he was, like, borderlining bullying Baron Corbin. Because if Corbin really is a guy, if he's down on his luck, if you and Drew's whole thing was like, well, that's karma. You did all this stuff. You brought yourself to this point. This is what you get for doing it. That's bullshit.
No,
he, like, he should have, like...
What the fuck did he do? Like, what the fuck did he did so bad to get this much hate?
Corbin,
like, what the fuck?
Corbin has been a total shithead to, like, everybody at work. Like, he is the, he is the guy at work that everybody hates.
Yeah, but they're like treating him like Seth Rollins fucking took his eye out or something. Like, fucking Seth Rollins did more heinous shit than Baron Corbin.
True. True.
All Baron Corbin is guilty of is being an asshole. That's about it. That doesn't mean he should be getting this much hate. Jesus.
Yeah.
Like for God's sake, the
line and sinker, my man. Hook, line, and sinker. They got you.
No, but for God's sake, the promo that Drew McIntyre said had abortion in it.
Yeah. He said that his mother was told to abort me. But no,
that's damn.
He went all in on that promo, dude. He went, like, in the past weeks, he's been talking about the Loch Ness Monster and, like, shit like
bro. Yeah.
Chill the fuck out. All of a sudden, he's talking about cancer and degenerative diseases and abortion.
Bros, I got to tell you, this is the perfect time to tell you. This week, like I said, I'm not following fucking WWE as intent. Last week or the week before last, I would have been paying attention to this interview. And I remember it being on, but I focused it out. And I was doing some other shit. I focused it out and I was doing some
That's
other shit on my fucking laptop and shit because it was Drew McIntyre and I knew it was going to be this fucking Loch Ness Monster shit. And now you're telling me
exactly.
It was different. And that's
crazy. It sounds like a shitty promo. Like when you listen to it, it sucks. Like the promo is not good. And so I did the same thing where I was like listening. I was like, what is he talking about? And then I like listened closer. I turned the volume up and was like, what?
It was inappropriate. So, I didn't like the abortion part. That was inappropriate. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Like I said, save it for a pay-per-view. That sounds like a promo that, like, Ric Flair or Dusty Rhodes or, like, one of these guys back in the day would have cut before, like, a blood feud or something, you know? Like, I'm like, why are you going in so hard on this guy? And it's really just about gender. It's not about Corbin. It's about him getting to gender. He's totally distracted. Like, by gender right now. Fuck gender. He's fucked these guys up. It's just weird. Like, I'm trying to hang on to, like, liking Drew because we never got Drew as a champ with fans. We never got, like, he didn't get his real moment in the sun or whatever. But he will again. They should just cool him off. They should just let him do it in the gear or something. It's just weird. And I guess that's what they're doing. But they're trying to present him as a main eventer still. They're presenting Drew as, like, the main event draw all the time a lot, or, you know, in my eyes.
Well, it doesn't help. It doesn't help with the piping crowd noise. It doesn't help with that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we go to the next match, which, you know, fuck, this is horrible. Jeff Hardy versus Karrion Kross. They had a hazard match. Another repeat. this match fucking blowed. Karrion Kross sucks. I'm sorry, people. This match sucked. All right. Karrion Kross's finisher fucking sucks. It fucking
sucks.
He looked
shook in the match. He looked like he was like one step behind. Like the timing's all off. And Jeff Hardy already probably has like a really weird timing in the ring. Like it's probably. It might be really easy to wrestle Jeff, or it might be kind of hard because he, like, moves around all weird and shit. But Kross, I don't know. And then I was, like, I was watching the guy move around the ring, and I was like, is the ring bigger than it is in NXT? But it's the same size ring. It just looked like he was one step behind the whole time. And he did win, and he got all mad, and he hurt him, and he, like, went in on him. I mean, good for him for winning. But there was a lot of takeaways. He looked too much like Randy Orton. Who cares?
Stuff like that. I was just, yeah.
Well,
so
I'm new to Karrion Kross. The whole Karrion Kross character is new to me. And I have to say, I was hoping to see him in a different way. I mean, they buried him his first match in. Then he won his second match. Then he lost his third match. And so here he was, I guess, in his fourth match, I think. Am I right, Christian?
Yeah, fourth match with two people.
Yeah, and so I was not impressed with what I saw from him. And
Do they really have these characters on their show right now with names like Karrion Kross and Damian Priest? Like, you're going to have both of those guys on the same show at the same time. And
right?
They don't know each other. It's just weird. Like, the names suck. The names all suck. T-Bar, Mace,
right?
All these bullshit names suck.
Yeah. Right? It's like WWE.
Recent fucking NXT or anybody who gets hired by WWE these days has a really shitty name, dude. Like, that's just how it is. Like, NXT's riddled with them. Like, they just, like, make up some shit and, like, first name and last name, and that's what they call them.
Yeah. Watch Apollo Crews on the indies was Uha Nation. Like, we had Prince Devitt. We had, like,
right.
You know, Brody Lee before he was Luke Harper. Like all these badass names, Claudio Castagnoli, like, you know, they're cool names before they come to WWE, and then they flush it down the toilet. It's crazy.
And, Swami, I wanted to touch on, before we continue with the WWE report, actually, this is part of WWE.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on fucking NXT, because there's a lot of madness, starting up with the firings, and then there's a lot of news going on there, so I want you to fill us in on that. What the fuck? Are they going to change this shit around, or what the fuck?
No. Basically, NXT's fucking dead, everybody. NXT's dead. They fired 10 people. They don't want small wrestlers or old people to be in NXT no more. So guess what? I mean, small wrestlers like Johnny Gargano could be fucking released next. Pete Dunne's going. Tommaso Ciampa's fucking going. I wouldn't be surprised if any of the people I'm saying are going to be fucking let go. Basically, Vince McMahon wants to do his own image. And guess what? The USA Network ain't fucking happy. And they're disappointed with the NXT changes that Vince wants to do. They're not fucking happy. They don't want this shit.
Wow.
The fucking network doesn't even want this shit.
There's a lot of people in the thread. I was reading the thread about this earlier, and a lot of people in there were saying, and, you know, that's like, that's through the rose-tinted glasses or whatever. That's like, it's a biased opinion in there. But they were all saying that it's like the best wrestling show on TV. They're like, these guys like love watching NXT religiously. So it's got to suck for diehard NXT fans to see all this shit happen all of a sudden, just pump the brakes. Because it sounds like they're going to close the doors on NXT.
I mean, I
it sounds like
NXT,
what I was reading is that they're wrapping it up.
I used to watch it back
but
in the day when
official,
they had like the vaudevillains and shit like that. And I thought it was pretty entertaining back then.
Yeah.
And then
that was the golden era of NXT, man. That was the golden era. That's when you had, like, right after they rebranded from Florida Championship Wrestling, and they had, like, you know, all these guys coming up through there, and it was like that's what skyrocketed NXT to its popularity and its TV spot on USA Network right now. And now they're just fucking throwing it all out the window, and it's not going to work. It's not going to be the same. I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of weeks they bring back like the 2012 like NXT fucking games that they were doing with, like, you know, Daniel Bryan and all those guys. You know what I mean? Like all those stupid like run around the ring games and shit. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they chucked into that.
Oh God,
like that.
No.
It's terrible right now.
We literally had Bronson Reed be in a dark match on SmackDown, and then a few minutes later he says, "Walt, you're fired." You're fired.
Think about that. They had this storyline where these wrestlers were like uprising, and like the retribution was gonna come down on WWE for the way they were treating people and blah blah blah, and then the WWE wasn't doing anything then, like they weren't really doing it. And now that everything's happening, like, there's nobody, like, there's no voice in the WWE. They're not addressing that at all. Like, there's no, of course they're not, you know. But it's just funny. It's like art imitating life, kind of. Because now they're really doing what they were saying they were doing.
You're a smart motherfucker.
Yes, sir.
So NXT's dead. I don't care. NXT's fucking dead.
Yeah. And so, just when I thought I was going to start watching it and shit, you know, I tuned in 2 weeks in a row only to, you know, find disappointment with the Olympics. And so, you know, I didn't want to watch that shit with all the fucking anti-American shit going on and shit and these athletes making their fucking
USA. USA.
But I'm happy that they won.
You watch your mouth.
It's
Hulk Hogan's
came
birthday.
Because China was ahead in the gold. And I mean, they were ahead by like 13 or 14 medals and shit. I'm like, fuck, man. But USA, you got to give them credit for fucking pulling through.
Yeah. So up next, we have a Doudrop versus Alexa. We talked about this earlier in the show. And, yeah. Finally, people are starting to see the light with this whole Alexa Bliss bullshit. This character is fucking shit. Guess what? First few seconds of the fucking match started, we want Wyatt chant began. We want Wyatt.
What do you expect? The fucking wrestling fans are fucking marks like that. They're going to do that.
Well, that's the company's fault. So.
And, you know, it is. It's the company's fault for fucking continuing with the product. Like Cavier or Albert Inspected said earlier, they really just need to fucking kill it immediately. But I don't guess they're going to do that. I guess they're going to go through the whole thing at SummerSlam, and maybe they'll kill it after that. And she can take 3 or 4 weeks off to go chill out with her family, her boyfriend, or whatever the hell, and then come back repackaged and, you know, maybe come knocking on Rhea Ripley's door or somebody else, you know, somebody.
Guess what? And guess what? The most distasteful thing happened last night. They launched new merchandise for The Fiend. New t-shirts of The Fiend's new gimmick that they were supposed to do when he...
Are
because
you
last
fucking
night
kidding?
He was supposed to return. No, I'm not kidding you. Because The Fiend was supposed to return last night. They launched new merch. New merch. And guess what? The fucking new mask that the t-shirt has, that's not a fucking new mask. That's just his fucking burnt up to a crisp mask, but with fucking red coloring.
Somebody.
So that's even.
Got a case.
So that's fucking lazy.
The Mondays.
So.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Is that new music?
Damn. That's fucking. Man. That's crazy.
Fucking bastard.
How are you going to fucking release merchandise of a guy you fucking let go the night, and he's supposed
well,
to be
that.
There at that, or
they do that,
at that
for
event.
The talent.
Imagine going there and buying a shirt not knowing that he had been let go.
Apparently, he was supposed to make his return last night. And I think that's why a bunch of merchandise had dropped. Maybe they forgot to, you know, not tell the people in the warehouse or whoever's handling the, you know, shop of WWE not to release it. I don't know. But, yeah, apparently that's what was supposed to happen. He was supposed to come back last night and didn't happen.
I saw people talking about this, and they were saying that a lot of times when a wrestler gets released, they will launch a shirt for them. They'll launch, like, some kind of merchandise for them when they get released so that it, like, pays – them while they're like during their release time or whatever, they'll get paid off of that last merch sale. It's a shitty gesture, but
look at the new gimmick?
The best they could do.
Christian?
What was gonna happen with The Fiend. There was never a plan. There was never anything. Like, the best time for him was when Matt Hardy and him were working together, I think. But no, we'll never know, dude. Until he does a shoot, and then he'll just tell us, like, they didn't let me do anything. And he'll do some crazy off the wall character, and people will still critique him.
New gimmick design. Look at the new design. The fucking design had him wearing a fucking black robe over his fucking face. And you see the fucking new mask. It's not a fucking new mask. It's just burnt to a crisp fucking mask. So they were lazy with that. So it's fucking lazy.
Yeah. The Fiend. Well, let me tell you, man, I read something about The Fiend today. And what I read was that he had signed a lucrative deal. His last deal that he signed. And that he, therefore, he lost control of one thing, and that was the whole 90-day deal. So he does have a 90-day
non-compete.
Yeah, non-compete. And, I mean, you know, that's not bad. He could take fucking 3 months to find something else as music, if he even wants to pursue wrestling. We don't even know.
I had
a theory, man. And,
yeah.
Fine.
Not a theory, but I was like a little fan, you know, fantasy booking. Like, I want The Fiend, I want Bray Wyatt to go to booking AEW, and I want him to just be like,
too.
it's Wyndham Rotunda, you know, that's his real name. Just use that fucking name, right? And he just shows up and he fucking cuts his dreads off. He's wearing like some Husky Harris type trunk. And he just comes out and, like, cuts a promo. Like, I'm here in AEW to come to the top, you know, and just blah, blah, blah. And just pretend like The fucking Fiend and Bray Wyatt, like, never happened. You know what I mean? I think that'd be the ultimate, like, fucking crazy fucking gimmick right there. And people are like, hey, weren't you? He's like, who? And he's like, no, I wasn't bad. And he's like, but weren't you? And then, like, you get, like, little blips off something crazy that might build up over, like, you know,
and
a couple of months or something, you know, like the light starts flickering when he comes out, you know, it's like trying to overtake him again, you know, I don't know. I thought it was funny, and I thought it was a little idea that I had whenever he got released. I'm like, he's going to AEW, just become a fucking regular ass wrestler, you know, like fucking trunks and shit.
Right.
Yeah. So up next. Right, we got a back-to-back repeat fucking matches. I don't know why they fucking keep doing this, even during a fucking live crowd. Again, we have Sheamus versus Ricochet. Again, surprise, surprise, Ricochet loses. And then we got Damian Priest versus fucking John Morrison again. And surprise, surprise, John Morrison loses again. That's fucking too many repeat matches. What the fuck is going on?
They don't have anybody on their roster.
Bullshit. They could have
They're
two five live people and main event people. Awful. Then we go to stupidity, right? I know for a fact that people in the crowd are already getting sick of this character, right? So we get Rhea Ripley, right, who's the third wheel. She's the third wheel in this triple threat match versus Nikki Ash. Her fucking promo was so shit that they definitely piped in the crowd noise. This promo is so shit. She says, I'm almost positive I can beat Rhea Ripley, you know? I can almost win this match.
Yeah.
And I will almost definitely retain my women's title.
Everything
are you fucking
is almost
kidding?
And I think the whole thing is played. I think they're just letting her they're just giving her that rope. And it's kind of sad to see, actually.
It's
but what we're gonna do right now what we're gonna do right now, Christian, is we're gonna take a little break. When we come back,
okay.
You're going to wrap that up, and then we're also going to talk about something, a possible guest that will be coming through the studios.
Yes.
Here at World Generation Podcast Network. So stick around for that, and we'll be right back with more on Fatal 4-Way Radio. And if you're listening live, you're going to have to catch us on the overrun, so check that out after the show is over. Thank you so much for listening this week on Fatal 4-Way Radio, and if you're going to jump back in, we're going to be there on the overrun, so check that out. We'll be right back after these words.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping little whale, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go don't mess with Texas, this land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy, so future generations can enjoy too.
So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news.
If you're a homeowner and you're tired of those pricey electric bills, you're not alone. Wrestling fans all over are switching to solar, and you can too. It's as simple as going to TexasSolarNow.com and receiving a free consultation plus $25. It's that easy, and not only will you save money and make money, you're going to help save the planet too. You don't even have to live in Texas. You can go to TexasSolarNow.com, and an agent will contact you anywhere in the U.S. where service is available. So don't let the power grid fail on your family this year. Make the switch at TexasSolarNow.com, a proud partner of the World Generation Podcast Network.
Dusty Rose, baby, so the American Dream. There's a lot of people that don't like me. There's a lot of people, Christian, and out there in Philadelphia don't like Dusty Rose very much.
They
said his belly is too big, baby. Maybe his hand is too big. But Christian from Philly, I'm coming to Philadelphia, baby. Dusty Rose,
oh,
I'm coming to Philadelphia.
Dusty Rose, only a Fatal Four-Way Radio. Man, I love that jam. You know, Kevier, I was thinking, man, we should start up a cover wrestling band.
You know what I heard?
Tell me.
I heard Elias is dead, and he threw his guitar into the fire. And Elias, he's dead, and he threw his guitar in the fire, and he might be looking.
He's dead.
For like a new project. I think that he wants to get into like some industrial stuff is what I heard. And,
hey,
he's
man, I'm all about
programming.
It.
I heard that he was going to Atlanta and he was going to be working with Kanye on the new Donda album. It still hasn't come out, so we might see Elias there. But no, I digress.
Man, he did it for Kanye?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would be badass. I'm all about
Kanye
it.
Kanye and WWE? Bro, if Kanye and WWE ever work together, I'll die a happy man. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, they did it with Bad Bunny. They could do it with Kanye. Welcome back. Yeah.
We're
going to wrap up with the WWE report, and then we have some news on a possible guest. I think I'm all about it, man. I think we should book it, and let's do it. But Swami, finish it up, brother.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so nobody likes Nikki Cross. This gimmick is fucking shit. That promo was fucking
I love Nikki Cross. And I'm a fucking heel.
Yeah, you, I'm sorry. Nobody likes the gimmick. I'm sorry. Nobody, everybody loves Nikki Cross.
okay, yeah, there. I like her in that costume, actually. I'm looking for a costume like that for the fabulous Kitty Teixeira. I would love to dress her as Nikki Cross for Halloween.
Oh, my gosh.
But we'll see how that develops.
Yeah, so the promo shit. I'm sorry. I'm almost positive to beating an opponent. It's not going to get anybody over. And besides, with the pop crowd noise, you know they're fucking
doing it. Dude, I think it's horrible,
you know,
man, how they're doing her. It's like they're doing it. Like, I don't know, man. I just know what the outcome is going to be, and I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not thrilled that they're even going along with it.
The outcome is she's going to lose the title to Charlotte Flair. That's the outcome. Pointless gimmick. It's pointless. And the worst thing, this was her idea. This gimmick was her idea.
Same thing. Great. I think it was a great idea. And I think if Vince McMahon put her on the spot, you know, like they did with, you know, all the other, you know, people that they brought into the office, and she came out with that and went with it, and I think it's actually working out pretty well for her. And it's one of my favorite things going on in a rather subpar company right now.
I mean, Nikki's funny, and Nikki's a good wrestler and a good personality, and she deserves, like, good things. So so if she can spin this into gold, then, you know, that'd be awesome. Right now, it's just weird. WWE does everything, like, 50-50, and they're so, like, lukewarm with all their booking. So you don't know what's going to happen, and it's still a triple threat, and it shouldn't be a triple threat, and it shouldn't be this Rhea and Charlotte story anymore, but it still is. It should just be Charlotte versus Nikki, in my opinion. You know, get Rhea the hell out of here.
No, but they're doing it so that you know, Charlotte, or I'm sorry, so that Rhea doesn't look weak, so that Nikki can be the one to take the pin. I think that Rhea Ripley is going to emerge victorious. And it's going to be Charlotte.
Not.
Her complaint's going to be that she didn't fucking, you know, she didn't fucking lose.
Yeah.
No.
Nikki deserves
the title more than any of them, I think. Nikki could carry the belt with a cooler, newer character that would be interesting. If either of those chicks had the belt, it would be boring and cliched, I think.
I hope
Nikki wins.
Rhea already looks weak because she's the third wheel. She's the third wheel into this.
Yeah.
She really does look weak. And guess what? Nikki's not going to fucking win it. Charlotte's going to win it because guess what? Becky Lynch is going to show up at SummerSlam, and that's going to be your next fucking feud again.
Yeah. There's nothing else to do, too. I mean, the chicks that are on the roster, the women that are on the roster now are, like, they're so limited on the main roster shows that they're either in the tag team championship title or they're in the main event women's championship title. Picture, you know, like there's only a couple of outliers that aren't in either of those storylines.
Yeah. So two more things. One, we had a promo with fucking MVP and Bobby Lashley talking about Goldberg. Who gives a fuck? MVP's promo was shit. Talking about he got speared last week.
That's just a good heel promo. He's just out there talking, dude. That's cool. And he's putting over the match. I always think of Dusty Rhodes talking about when people do promos like that, it's about putting over the pay-per-view and, like, trying to build the pay-per-view. All I was thinking was, where the fuck has Goldberg been for the last 2 weeks?
Goldberg wasn't getting – there was no Goldberg chance on that last night, so they don't give a fuck about Goldberg. They don't give a fuck about this. Fuck this. Okay.
Goldberg sucks. There's a cool graphic that they had. I saw this on the show where Bobby Lashley showed up in the bottom, and they were like, tonight, almighty Bobby Lashley. And it was like a really badass graphic of Bobby Lashley. I was like, that looks sick. And then, like, their special effects game is on point. Like, the whole presentation, everything like that looks really cool. The stage, all that stuff looks cool. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so up next is Jeremy. Yep. So up next was your main event, was Randy Orton versus AJ Styles, the match we've seen already. This was fucking boring. This was boring.
This is cool. This is Randy's welcome home. This is Randy coming back, dude. He gets to fight AJ coming back.
Well, I'd rather have him fight somebody new.
This whole thing took me on an emotional roller coaster. I got played like a fiddle by like him being mean to Riddle earlier in the night, and then at the end of this match, you know, Riddle comes in and jumps on Omos.
Yeah.
And he like tries to choke him out. He tries to save Randy, and then he goes in the ring and he apologizes. He's like, "I'm sorry. I know you said not to." And then they hug, and it's just a cool moment where he's like, "Listen to the people, Randy." Like, he comes up to him. If you watch this part too, like Randy like is directing Riddle. Like Randy's like walking through the apron, and when he walks out of the apron, he like beckons to Riddle. He's like, "Come here," with his hand, and Riddle comes in close, and that's when they do that spot where he like talks to him in front of the camera. So it's kind of cool because I think Randy maybe that was planned, and he was directing them, like, "Hey, it's time to do this," you know.
That's not really a good thing. That's bad.
We noticed it, but it's cool to notice it whenever you do notice little things like that. I was like, I think he just called the spot right there.
Everybody's happy.
It was cool. And then he RKO'd him, and then I was, like, heartbroken again. I was like, "No." But then he was, like, scuffing his hair. Like, he's like, "Oh, I'm just playing, buddy." So it's kind of funny that, like, I guess Randy could just RKO him out of nowhere. Maybe Riddle will, like, hit him with the Bro Derek out of nowhere.
No, they're gonna be still teaming up to face AJ and Omos for the titles of SummerSlam.
They're still going to do that.
They're still going to do that, yeah. What a
SummerSlam,
Randy
was cool, dude. I'm happy Randy's back. Randy's awesome.
Yeah.
And Matt Riddle's awesome, too. Matt Riddle is, like, the biggest star, I think, that they have on Raw. He's cheesy, but I think he's, like, got Daniel Bryan vibes. Like, yeah, he's got, like, early Daniel Bryan WWE vibes where he could definitely be bigger. He's funny.
You know who I was not excited to return? Sasha Banks. Fucking last week, she was fucking awful. She was cringe. I'm sorry. Sasha Banks is fucking cringe. Her fucking fake laugh shit is fucking cringe. Can't stand her.
I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah. Some of those chicks, like, some of those women have to, like, really, like, rework their character after so long. They've been doing that character. She's been the boss and, like, different variations of it for so long. Like, maybe it is time for, like, a hard change for Sasha, you know, like, for her to do something different. Not like Alexa, but, you know, maybe just, like, drop the boss gimmick for a while.
The hard change is, you know, losing fans. And with that comes, because I'm telling you, man, if something cool comes along for me, I'm not going to sit around for fucking, I'm not going to plan something. I'm not going to plan to cook ribs or anything like that for fucking SummerSlam. No, fuck it. I'm going to be looking for something cool to do. If there's a good game in town, maybe I'll go to that or some shit. I don't know.
There's a boxing fight during this show, so you might want to see the boxing fight.
Yeah, I may want to go to the bar and watch the boxing. I don't know, man. Pacquiao.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah.
I'll watch it. I'll do something fun at home. Like, I'll pull it up on the tablet and watch it while I grill. I'm going to be here anyways, you know. But I hear what you're saying. Like, there's other things to do than watch the show. But then why are we really here, guys? Do we really like wrestling?
I mean, I'm just saying, I watch it live.
Do we like wrestling? Really? Do you just like do you get joy from watching it? Do you like watching it?
No.
I just like to watch it at my own, you know, like, I want to be able to skip through all the bullshit.
It cracks me the fuck up. It cracks me up, and that's still my thing. And going to a live show is like, it's like going to a music concert, but way more badass.
I do enjoy going to them live. So we're going to do a little bit of book action. And now it's time for Booking 101. The Booking 101 with Philly Nilly, with the chili on the willy, Christian from Philly.
Yeah.
We're just doing booking because we're trying to book. And now it's time. We're trying
booking
to book a
what?
Guest. We're trying to book a guest.
Okay.
For the show. So, Albert, what can you tell us about this? Where are we at?
What the mystery person that's coming on the show?
Yeah. Like,
should we use
at?
A pseudonym for him? We call him like the like Sergeant Meatball or something like that. Let's call him like.
I don't call know. The Mysterious Meatball Man. I don't know.
Mysterious Meatball.
Mysterious Meatball Man.
No, we're definitely trying to branch out. We got a guest coming up on the show that we. Might be able to secure him. It's still like up in the air, I guess. Right? Is that the latest right now? He hasn't responded to us.
Yeah, he's all for it. Just wants to come on and have a good time. But I'm still waiting on the logistics and the final word, the final date. Apparently, this guy's pretty busy.
Oh, we're losing
his
Albert.
His gimmick is that he's not very busy. His gimmick is that he's, unless he's working me, I don't know, but his gimmick is that he's not very busy. But apparently there's multiple different people that I have to talk to in order to get a hold of this guy.
Yeah.
Somebody's doing this on purpose. We can't hear him on purpose.
I'm not doing anything on purpose, bro.
The mysterious
I'm trying
meatball.
To hear what Albert is saying.
The mysterious meatball is interfering with our feed, dude. He doesn't want
right.
anybody to mention him.
Great. Apparently, hopefully the mysterious meatball man will be here next Tuesday, and we'll get to pick his brain and stuff like that. But I want to get him on before SummerSlam, which is what? SummerSlam's what?
It's next week.
Not this week. Next week. So I want to get him on. I want to get his thoughts because this mystery meatball man had a match with Goldberg, and. So we get to pick its brain as to what it's like to be in the ring with Goldberg.
For how
and,
long? Like, how long do we get
other
to pick
things.
His brain for? Is he going to be with us?
I'm
like,
not sure yet.
Yeah, I'd like to find out that. I mean,
what was the clues again? Wait, what was the clues again? Because you were breaking out.
What? This man, he had a match with Goldberg, right?
Okay.
And, That's what it was. He was a member of the NWO. He's one of the original members, not one of the original members, but he's one of the first few members of the NWO. And he had a match with Goldberg. And that's it. Those are the clues. And he's really into meatballs and noodles and pasta and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I can be right now. But apparently,
yeah,
we don't want to false advertise anything.
That's why we're being so vague. We don't want to false advertise anything. But we definitely have talked about that.
Yeah.
And then just more like local talent. There's a lot of guys out here in the Houston area that we could really get on the show and do a little bit. I noticed, man, they announced more matches for local wrestling. Reggie, and that's they're going to have Masada come in and fight Gino Cavazos. And, like, Gino's, like, their champion, like, or I don't know if he's their champion or the Renegade Wrestling champion. I think he's the Renegade Wrestling champion, but he defends it all the time at Loco.
Gino?
He's always the main event. Yeah, Gino's so good.
Yeah.
And he, I don't know if it's
Gino
Cavazos. I forget what his last name is. I think it's Gino Hernandez, maybe.
That's the other guy. It's Gino
something.
I can't remember what his name is.
But I digress. But, yeah, no, he's going to fight Masada, dude. And Masada is – I've seen him wrestle several times. I videoed Masada out in Beaumont and never got to see him lit loose. Like, Masada's matches in Beaumont were always hardcore, but never, like, really involved a lot of weapons. It was more like headbutts and, like, nasty pile drivers, stuff like this. But he's going to be at Loco, and I think that he's going to, like, pull out some nasty shit on Gino. It's going to be – I'm, like, really excited for that match. And then just to speak on, like, their event at GCW, like, because GCW in L.A. this last week did feature Dante Leon and Ninja Mac. They had a match at GCW, and there's, like, a lot of buzz about that match. There's a lot of clips online. Like, Ninja Mac, like, pulled a backflip off of the side of the wall. They had, like, this segment that, like, what do they call that whenever they – they do, like, a spot where they bounce off the ropes and do flips over each other. And I guess they call it a segment. But they did, like, this crazy acrobatic match. And both of those guys are badass and are going to be on TV more. They're both already AAA Lucha Libre stuff.
Yeah, speaking of Game Changer Wrestling and local wrestling, man, ASF was on that card as well. Of course, ASF was on our show. Was it earlier this year?
Of the show.
Was it?
Yeah, I've seen him at Loco too, and he's sick. He was at the most recent Loco show that I went to as well.
Nice, Christian, and I have a challenge for you. You got to go out and find some local wrestling there in Philly.
Yeah, what's your scene like, bro? Do you follow local wrestling out there?
No.
Yeah.
Go look for some. Go look. You should go look for some and check it out live.
Have you been to local
promotions
before or anything?
Yeah.
Have you never gone to like a local show or anything?
No, I don't know. I don't know when they perform, so I'll go check
probably
it out.
Like, there's probably some old ECW dude like training people out there, right? There's probably
there's
somebody
in Philadelphia. I mean, goddamn, I would imagine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would imagine fucking Philadelphia. I mean, take some batteries with you and pelt them fuckers with batteries.
Do you not like?
I'm not doing that.
Do you not like going to like smaller indie wrestling shows? Does that like not appeal to you? I guess as much as like just keeping up with the bigger programs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just depends on the promotion, bro, because there was a long time where I went to, like, mediocre local wrestling shows, and it was only until I found, like, Hurricane Pro and local wrestling that the stuff was really good.
I do watch New Japan, though, but, yeah.
There's a lot of crap, and I hate to say it, but there is a lot of crap out there, and it could be off-putting for somebody going to, like, a wrestling show. And I hate to say it, but, you know, there is. And there's guys in the book that have, you know, that are literally carnies, you know what I mean? Like,
I've been to some rough
shows. VFW Hall with, like, I don't know, dude, like, just some dudes who have no business in the ring. You know what I mean? Like, there's been a lot of that. And
we did a show one time where it was under like, at a public park. It was under the basketball goals, like it was just like under an open room, like they didn't pay to be there. We just set up, we didn't set it up, but we ran cameras for them. And they just did this, like, they just hijacked the park and put on a wrestling show there.
That's awesome.
I love it. That's a pirate, some pirate shit.
Yeah.
Fucking pirate shit right there.
Yeah, man. But you know, like, even stuff like that could be cool. I mean, that's cool stuff. You know what I mean? But there's just some, like, there's some dudes out here, they're booking, like, I don't know, man, like, they book guys like fucking Teddy Hart, or just, like, crazy shit, you know, like, just carny shit, you know what I mean? Like, just, like, there's some real crap out there, dude. They book, they book all the guys that are, like, blacklisted, you know what I mean? Like, or, like, a bunch of other dudes have, like, you know, backyard wrestlers and shit with, like, some blacklisted people because the blacklisted people can't get out.
Yeah, I'll give you the same challenge, Albert. You go find a fucking local wrestling and report on it to us there in San Antonio. San Antonio.
Oh, there's lots. There's lots, dude. There's River City Wrestling. There's Mission Pro Wrestling, Thunder Rosa's company. There's that, which I actually saw them. What's that?
SWE.
They're more like located out of Dallas. And then you got, dude. There's a shitload, dude. There's a fucking martial arts dojo that runs shows every Thursday. There's hybrid wrestling. San Antonio's a wrestling town, dude. Much like Houston is, San Antonio's got a fucking huge wrestling scene. There's a lot of wrestlers that live here and people within the
the business that was here as well.
And shame on everyone not following along with Booker T's wrestling. They used to have a show that I used to watch, actually. It came out Saturday nights. I would record it, or it would come out Sunday mornings, and I would watch it live and shit.
Reality of Wrestling?
There you go. But
so,
then they started showing it on television.
There was an announcement from them, too. They announced like a week ago that they're going to open another location in Dayton, Texas. I live over here, like, in between. So, like, where Baytown is, I'm, like, right in the middle of Clear Lake, between Clear Lake and Dayton.
Wow.
Both of those cities are, like, 20 minutes either way for me.
Oh, man, you're in the 20, Clear Lake area, bro?
I'm in the Baytown. I'm in Baytown. But it's really easy because of 146. I can, like, get down the road really quick.
Oh,
so,
Guys, my
Booker's already got his setup down here, but he's gonna start in Dayton too and start running shows out there, which is awesome because that's a very untapped area for pro wrestling. Like, I think that it's gonna do super well. Like, there's so many people that live in that area that don't have wrestling shows to go to. It's gonna pop off.
Christian,
so,
yourself
you
out,
mentioned
my brother.
Reality of Wrestling. We should follow Reality of Wrestling.
We really should, Kevier. We really
all
should.
Right,
I mean,
thank you.
We'll check that
thank
out.
Thank you all
definitely.
For listening. Yeah. Thank you all for listening to Fatal 4 Radio. I have been Christian from Philly, and next week we're going to do Summer Scam Predictions because, you know, and then I'm going to do a review show on Summer Scam. So tune in next week. Good night, my lovers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly. evil fucker, that guy. But he's fucking great. I love having him on the show. He keeps me balanced, you know? Like, I fucking, and he makes me see things in a different light. He exposes shit to me. I guess I should say he exposes shit to me. And I like it. That's why I have him around. That's why we have him around. We embrace him. It's always good to have a different opinion or, you know, to have a different viewpoint on the show. You can't just have it all fucking goddamn rainbows and unicorns. You got to have that opposing view. And I definitely enjoy having him. Kevier! My friend.
Yeah.
You're just so proud, brother.
Yeah. No, another great episode. I like the loose and colorful business model we went by. We still got to go over Raw and SmackDown and AEW. And that was cool. I like how birthdays just talks about, we just get to talk about each wrestler, even though it's their birthday. We just go into arguing about their birth or who they were as a wrestler. So that went off really well. But, yeah, no, I'll be looking forward to predictions next week, and I'll get my predictions ready ahead of time.
Right.
I'll also be looking forward to hopefully Kanye West dropping his new studio album, Donda, by the 15th. But, you know, fingers crossed, it's been 4 weeks now. So I'll text you guys if Kanye drops his album.
Right on. Ladies
over
and gentlemen, the peacemaker, Kanye West. Rancho Punk Rocker, what you got going on, man?
Oh, nothing. Hey, you know what? I am gonna go check out some local wrestling because there's a vibrancy out there. There's a vibrancy across America. There's gonna be a huge, I'm not gonna say a huge rebellion, but there's gonna be some sort of rebellion against WWE. It's already starting right now. A rage against the machine, if you will. So go check out some local wrestling and mask up with this fucking pandemic so we can enjoy some wrestling without having to fucking be, you know, with these things strapped to our face. And just see you guys later. It was a good show, and I enjoyed coming
later, buddy.
Having fun with you guys.
We enjoy having you, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert and Spencer. Thank you. So, guys, check out a friend of the show, Alex Staunch, on YouTube. And, yeah, go check him out. He recently did a video for Bar S Hot Dogs, if you will. And the whole thing, you can follow him.
That.
Check him out. Yeah, you saw that? It's some good stuff.
That was awesome.
I know, dude. He got to, not only did he get to hang out with Vanilla Ice and shit, you know, for however brief the moment may be or whatever the hell, but still, he got to be on a video and shit, and the whole experience of going out there, and you can check that out on YouTube by following Alex Staunch and Staunch TV. And ladies and gentlemen, it's been real, it's been big, but it hasn't been real big, but I do appreciate you being here with us every week on Fatal 4-Way Radio, and I appreciate the ratings that have been going up. Albert Inspected, thank you so much for, you know, Pro Wrestling Planet, which we are proudly with, you know, World Generation Podcast Network and Pro Wrestling Planet are bringing you these shows each and every week. So thank you for that, Albert Inspected. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and we'll see you next time on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Peace. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Hey, Minister of Sinister here with a public service announcement, because we do that here too, you know. Nevertheless, COVID-19. Have you been vaccinated? I have, and guess what? It didn't cost me a thing. In fact, it allows me to walk around most businesses freely without a mask, which is a huge plus. I mean, how many times have you walked up to a store only to have to walk back to your car when you realize you left your stupid mask behind? Come on. Go get vaccinated. Look, folks, you know me. I'm the first one to call a spade when I see one. You know this. It's all a bunch of horse shit. We all know this. Why did I get vaccinated? Hear me out, folks. Honestly, I don't want to find myself in the ICU getting badgered by a freaking news reporter as to why I didn't get vaccinated. I saw this today on the midday news as I was checking out of La Quinta. Also, here's the thing. I'm anxious to see what other horse shit they're going to come up with to take away our freedom, because this has been a test. A test, folks, to gauge what all they can get away with. But I digress. Go get back, folks, so we can find out what the hell they're up to together.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the World Generation Podcast Network.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.